Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
Live from Chicago, this is the Abe Cannon Show.
Unleash the fury!
Yes, welcome to the Abe Cannon Show, WGN FM, 312-235-2525 if you want to join us. It's very weird being in a new state. Like, just being at WGN, it reminds me of, you know, my first job at Walmart, or my, you know, when I worked at other radio stations. You just feel weird.
Well, I think that's your first day anywhere. I mean, at a new school, you know, going away to college, your first day, any new job, the first day is always just its own beast.
Yeah, and we should introduce ourselves for people who haven't heard us before. My name is Abe Cannon. I'm joined by Ryan Mano.
That is me.
My brother Sam.
Hello.
And Bass.
Yeah.
And I do, Abe, I was thinking of this earlier today. I was like trying to think of a way to sort of acclimate, you know, people familiar with WGN but not familiar with us.
Yeah.
Because I don't know right now what the mix of listeners would be, how many are coming over.
Yeah, because we've done other radio shows.
Right.
So we have other previous listeners that we told that we'd be on WGN FM tonight.
BYOL. Bring
your
own
listeners. But then there's, that's what they said. Yeah. They said if you don't bring your own listeners, you can't be on. Yeah. So I think we have some listeners.
But so for the WGN folks, here's how to kind of to think of it. Abe would be somehow, and I don't know how this is possible, somehow he is a perfect mix of Gary Meyer and Elton Jim. I don't know how, but he's got all of the qualities of both of them in one human.
He definitely has the Elton Jim build.
Yeah, and just...
Is Elton Jim handsome in person? I haven't met him
before. No, but I heard they referred to his hair as on point before.
Okay,
that's yours, too.
Yeah. Bass would be... Bass, say hi.
Hello.
Bass would be a mix, I guess, between David Kaplan and Glenn Kozlowski.
Well, that's good, because Cap is a good dresser, so that's nice.
Well,
you're not a good dresser.
It's not.
I don't think after that part.
Bass, these aren't to a T. I know John's not here anymore, but John Williams, I guess I would put myself in that realm. A John Williams, voice of reason type, maybe mixed with some Milt Rosenberg. I like to read. And then Sam is just Bill Mahler.
Oh, thank you.
No problem.
That's a compliment, Ryan. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I can see that.
Yeah. So you could start there as a reference point.
Yeah, so that's, like Ryan said, if you want a reference point of who we are, if you're a WGN listener, that'll help you out a little bit. It probably didn't help you much, but
you could even call us those names for the first couple of days.
Just pretend that's who we are.
But when you walk into a new job or a new situation, there's always, you don't know anything going on, right?
No.
Like there's all kinds of office drama going on probably. There's so many things that we don't know about. Like where's the best place to go to the bathroom? We do have a bathroom in the studio, which is cool, but that's not where you would, you know, drop, you know.
Right, right. I don't want you going in there for...
Yeah, so...
For real business.
Where's the best place to use the bathroom? Where's the best place? You know, there's a lot of things we need to know.
But it's that way, I believe, Abe, it's that way everywhere. I mean, when you walk in... So every time you walk into a new place, and it's very similar to today, you're at a very distinct disadvantage. The people you encounter, you know, the people you're meeting... You're on their home turf. They're comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
So they have the advantage of just focusing on sizing you up. But, like, you are walking down the hall looking at you almost look like Link from Encino Man. You know what I mean? Like, things are moving too fast.
Well, it's like you're walking into a gym and, like, all the like, who's this guy?
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
staring you down. And,
right.
You know, you
feel like you're about to get hazed.
You're like, where's the treadmill? Just tell me, please. You don't worry about it. Take a closer look. Why don't you gander around like a baby deer some more?
And everyone here has been tremendously friendly.
Oh.
I mean, they've been very helpful.
We met Aubrey, the engineer, and of course, Todd Manley, who, you know, put us on. He's the program director. Alex Quigley. Who else did we meet?
I met a lovely woman in the elevator who really loved bass.
Oh, is that the woman downstairs?
No, this was up here.
So there's a woman downstairs who checks you in,
mm-hmm.
and every time Bass goes, you know, when Bass talks, I'm here to sign in a few people. And then she's like,
you know, I don't talk like an ogre, my friend.
She's like, ah, she's like, his voice is so deep.
Yeah. Middle-aged women, they go nuts.
Oh, she loved him. Hey, where do I sign in?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, I'm like, very charming.
I said, Bass, wow, I think that chick wants you.
No, I don't think so.
Bass is very magnetic when it comes to older, heavier people.
Yeah.
He tends to get a lot of attention.
I don't think bass does that.
Thanks, Sam.
Well, bass, it's true. You really do.
I don't think bass does it, though, for like the, you know, it's not like the I want him thing. He, you know, there's just like a, it's more of a charm. That's what it is. He's like a little cherub.
And that's probably the nicest thing you've ever
said. It's not like,
I'd say he's bubbly.
Yeah.
He has a bubbly personality.
I'm just friendly. I'm overly friendly.
But what I was going to say about the friendliness here earlier is, you know, and I understand it. It's a great, nice gesture. It's appreciated when people say things like, make yourself at home. You know, here's where you get the water, the coffee, make yourself at home. You can't feel at home yet in a place where you don't even know where the best place to use the bathroom.
Yeah, you don't. We're on guard.
Right.
You know, we're just on guard.
That's what it is.
We don't know if someone's gonna pop out. Like everyone's like you said, everyone stares you down.
But it's not in a confrontational way.
No, no, no. They're like, who's this guy?
Yeah.
They're like looking you over.
Right.
They're nice, mm-hmm. but you don't know what they're thinking. Like, who's this loser? And you know, you are kind of afraid. I'll tell you, this is way better. When I first started working, we worked at Q101, which is gone now. But my first day when I worked there, I was in a production studio and a guy walked into my studio wearing a sweaty Spider-Man costume.
Mm-hmm.
I never met him before. And he said, hey, bro, could you zip me up? That was my first encounter at a radio. So nothing like, unless like, you know, a Batman walks in or The Flash.
And that became your morning ritual.
Yeah.
You
exactly.
Zipped him up every morning.
Zip me up, buddy.
Sweaty Superman.
There's something weird about doing that. I remember going back to when I worked at Walmart, the security guard. I used to push carts, and for some reason, he's like, hey, young man, could you help me with this button? And he came out of he was like the security driver. He came out, and he asked me to clip the button on his suspenders. And that never sat right with me. Like, all these years, it just feels weird, right?
Have you thought about getting back in touch with him? What was in your head? Like, what was he angling at, other than having you helping him?
I just felt uncomfortable. Like thank you, he said when I did it. And I'm like, oh.
But at some point that didn't become home. It wasn't home when you buttoned him up.
Well, I never did it again.
Now I'm home.
I never did it again, but I have two incidents zipping up the sweaty Spider-Man outfit and buttoning suspenders on. He was built like the Penguin.
What I'm saying though, Abe, is was there anything on top of him just asking that? Or was it just him asking?
He goes, hey, young man, can you button this for me?
I think what Ryan's trying to say was, did he want something from you?
My thing is, did he give off a vibe? Did he thrust at your hand as you were buttoning him? Like, what was there something inherent about this guy that made you uneasy?
Just the whole thing. Like, he's like speeding around the parking lot. Like, he peels out, jumps out. Excuse me, young man. Can you button this up for me?
So he went out of his way to find you to button him up. That's what it was.
He didn't even know me. He called me young man.
He got you from a distance and said, I want him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He will button me up.
That's my button guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was pushing the cart, and he liked what he saw, apparently. Yeah. And, you know, he just jumped out.
Did you guys go on a date after that? Or?
No, that was it. But
that was it?
You know, it was a very uncomfortable situation.
I was just thinking about my first day at college. My parents had I went to North Central College in Naperville. My parents had just dropped me off. I was paired with a roommate I didn't know. I didn't know a soul there, not one person. And my parents they dropped me off and left. And so I was very sad, right? My mom's bawling as she's walking away. I was lonely and sad, and I had some stomach issues. I went into the bathroom, and one of the stalls had overflowed. The toilet backed up, right? So there was water containing human waste on all over the ground.
Now, was this your personal bathroom, or was
bathroom? The fourth floor of Seeger, the dorm, Seeger dorm in Naperville, and there was wastewater it was coming under the stall, into my stall.
And that is the worst.
I've
had that happen to me at Lollapalooza a few times when they have those like, it's like a trailer with like 15 urinals and then toilets in there.
Yeah. And you expect it there though.
Yeah.
But it's not long. It gets way worse. So I tried to avoid it when I was done using the bathroom, and I put all of my weight on the toilet paper holder to try and, I was like straddling the puddle, and the paper towel or the toilet paper, holder, the mount, fell off because of my weight was on it, and a screw cut like a big gash in my arm, and I landed face first in the puddle.
Ugh.
And I was bleeding and was covered in someone else's poop.
See, that's a bad
combo. And
that
was a half hour after my parents just left me.
Did you start crying? Because
I don't recall if I cried, but I know if it happened right now, I would cry. If it happened here, I mean, that's a traumatic, when you're covered in feces and blood.
Yeah.
In a place where you don't know anyone.
And then you have to walk out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a bad first day.
Some would drop out. Yeah. That moment. That would have been it.
That was a bad first day.
Did anyone tell you guys, make yourself at home when you walked in here? Some random guy told me that. Like, when they tell you that, make yourself at home,
right.
What does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those formalities, though. And that's what I'm saying. It's almost next to impossible, you know, to feel it. Although, I don't know, this studio is pretty sweet.
This is an awesome studio. We're right on Michigan
Avenue.
It is,
but when you keep hearing that, though, I think sometimes people sense the discomfort. So it's just a comfort mechanism, like, dude, just make yourself at home. You'll be fine. Abe always looks uncomfortable everywhere he is. He's always kind of twitching and shaking.
Shifting. That's what it is.
Shifting's
the weight goes
word.
To the left foot, then the right foot.
I'll be very comfortable, like, because we're here all week. So
all it is that you have to get this one out of the way. Like, your first day doing anything is never, it's like if we went to England right now and drove a car, we wouldn't die. We could manage it.
But it still sucks.
But you wouldn't, no one would be impressed with your driving.
Like, we used to work with our Uncle Rick. He worked at, like, a construction place, and we had to, like, help him with the office. Like, Sam and I, when we were 10, we would vacuum the office. And when we first got there, there was this door you would open that was real dark, right? Mm. And we were really scared to walk in there. But by, like, the third week, you're like, oh, okay, it's fine. Yeah. But the first time, remember that, Sam?
Now, I'm still scared of that room. That's you. You're okay with it. I was never okay with it.
Yeah. But that, I mean, you're right though, Abe. And I think you're on a performance level. It's usually like, this doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do. You never want, you think back to your first day and that's not one you want to be remembered by.
Yeah, well, exactly.
It's not a shining performance.
You're setting a great precedent, Ryan.
Oh, I'm being honest.
you've already labeled this show a failure.
No.
This one specific.
By doing
show.
That, all we could do is succeed from here.
Well, yeah.
It's already a failure.
You've lowered the bar pretty low for us, so I think we can go pretty high from
here. Well, it was already pretty low.
That's key, is if you have no expectations or low expectations, the only way that it can go is better.
Just set the bar on the ground.
Yeah.
On day one.
Should we take our first ever caller on WGN-FM? Conrad in Canada. He's actually, you know, on our show... Before we were on WGN-FM, we had squad leaders. So we have different people that run different territories for us, right? So we gave this guy, Conrad, all of Canada. So Conrad from Canada, welcome to the show. You there, Conrad?
Great to hear you guys. Yeah, I'm here.
What's
up,
man? Yeah, what's up, man?
So great to hear you guys. Honored to be the first caller on this show. I hope to keep you past this week. I was hoping on a little bit of an update on Sam's newlywed status. Hoping to hear about the Vegas trip a bit.
Conrad, we're going to get to that later in the show. We have so much. Sam's wedding was in Vegas a few weeks ago.
And I just, Abe, I'm not going to cut you off. I'm not going to interrupt here. I just want to say that Conrad missed that, as did all of our listeners, because we were fired as Sam was about to walk down the aisle.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we should explain that. You know, for the new listeners, we used to host a show.
It was on Saddle.
Sirius XM on Howard 101, Howard Stern's channel, and they actually called me in Vegas and let me know that they were canceling the show right before Sam's wedding. Like, as he was, I didn't even tell him till after. Mm-hmm. Right as we were, like, walking down the altar, or he's about to, I get the call. I mean,
the call was within 15 minutes of the actual wedding ceremony.
So yeah. when he saw tears coming from your eyes, did he just think, oh man, Abe's really happy for me.
Yeah.
This is awesome. I've never seen emotions out of my brother this.
Thank you, Abe.
Sam thought I loved it. Yeah. Sam's like, Mom, there's just something about Abe.
Abe gave me his first ever hug.
I saw a new side of Abe today.
Yeah.
He does have a heart, Mom.
You know, if it wasn't for the fact that he was punching the wall earlier, I would say he really is happy for me right now.
Yeah, so but as you were saying,
oh yeah, so you know, that's why we have all these. We're probably gonna have, if you're a new listener, we're gonna have all these, a lot of our old listeners like Conrad, who's the squad leader of Canada. So if someone calls in and says, hey, what's another squad leader, Ryan, like Jay the Gay is the leader of the gay squad, So he runs all the gay guys, and there's a squad
he
leader.
He runs all the gay guys.
Yeah, he runs
well
the gays.
Well put.
What else is there, Base? I mean, you know, the ones we could say.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
there's
where
a lot
I'm at.
There's a lot of squad leaders of states.
There's a squad leader of North Carolina. There's a squad leader. So you're going to have people like Conrad calling it.
Although we did have to terminate 50% of the squad leaders based on the nature of what their squad was.
Yeah. What are you doing, Conrad? Are you like laying on your stomach?
Say that again?
No, I'm just kind of sitting here. I'm checking out your article here that Mark Conkle wrote about the new show. I'm just trying to get all, you know, caught up and back into the scene of the Abe Cannon Show.
Well, we're here all week, Conrad. So WGN.FM, or you could go on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn app. If you're listening, you're listening.
I was going to say, if he found that he found
it. Yeah, so there's really no reason on this platform to ever mention where we are, because if you're listening, you're listening,
you found
right?
It. Yeah.
Like, you found it.
Right.
There's no reason to tell people where to find it because you found
unless,
it.
Unless, and I doubt
I'm hoping to hear from Danny Gaga as well.
Yeah, that's another guy. Now, Conrad, you're getting, see, what would you call Conrad here, Ryan? He's jumping the shark a bit. He's getting too thirsty.
No, he's giving the spoiler alert.
Conrad is what I call being a little too thirsty. He wants it all now. We're trying to ease people in. Like, it's like a first date. You don't go on a first date, rip your pants off and say, let's do this! Come on!
That's right.
No, you go in, you're like, hey, let's go to breakfast at Orange. What's that brunch place called, Sam? Orange.
Yeah. That's a good first aid place for teenagers.
Maybe we weren't ready for a first call after all.
Yeah.
He's giving it all
away. I'm just a little excited, guys. That's all.
Yeah, Conrad.
Easy, Conrad.
Yeah, Conrad. We'll explain to people everything they need to know. But Conrad, thank you for being the first caller, and we'll be here all week. So
it's kind of like Sam was.
Thank you.
Later, Conrad.
Best of luck, guys.
Thanks,
I know it's
going
to be great.
Later, Brent. If you want to call in, 312-235-2525. 312-235-2525.
Like, Sam's watching. He's watching Breaking Bad right now.
Uh-huh.
He started at the beginning.
Good for you.
And he's
I'm loving
season
it.
Season 4, episode 6 or 7. And that's what it is I don't know what I can and can't mention, you know, so I don't want to jump too far ahead. Like, Danny Gaga's in chapter 2, and Conrad just
yeah, we can't mention Danny Gaga yet.
This is chapter 1. We'll get there. All right.
He's just a little too thirsty for my liking. Patrick in Arizona, what's up, man?
Man, I'm a little upset right now. I just realized that I'm the Buzz Aldrin of Abe Cannon calling.
The
two.
Second caller. Yeah. But guess what? Patrick, guess what? Buzz outlived Lance, right? Lance died. Buzz still stayed alive. And now
Lance
Armstrong, or Neil, sorry. Neil Armstrong.
And this is why. This is why
1% of the population who actually remembers Buzz Aldrin. No one remembers number two.
Well, Patrick, I'd much rather be Buzz Aldrin right now than Neil Armstrong. I'll tell you that. Why? Because he's still alive. So, Patrick, the last caller, Conrad, will die before you. At least you have that to look forward to.
I guess alive is always the better alternative.
It is. Being alive is better than being the first at something.
Because, but when Neil Armstrong
died,
things really turned a corner for Buzz Aldrin. Like, he became...
No, he's the first man on the moon.
By default.
He got made.
He did.
He did, you're right.
He got made that day.
Hey, I can't get made because I'm not 100% Italian.
He guest hosted Monday Night Raw. He was everywhere.
Dude, right. You hear they made Aldrin. You're right. The minute... another good example. The minute, you know, if Adam West dies... Then the guy who played Robin will now be the guy they always talk to. When Davy Jones died, now they always talk to, what's his name, Mickey or whatever, the other guy?
Right. It's like if Abe Cannon dies, Sam Cannon gets made. That
exactly.
Moment.
And the same with the Munchkins and Wizard of Oz. As those, there's only one left. And as they began to get, you know, picked off through the years, like, you know, the three of them get incrementally more popular. As there's two left,
Hi.
The glory.
Hey, everybody. I'm Harold. The Munchkin.
All the glory that was spread across all of those Munchkins is now on two of them. Like, and now there's one of them.
And everybody's looking at that one going, so what are you going to die?
The countdown's on.
But until that happens.
I'm already waiting for Conrad to die.
Conrad.
Does anyone know what kind of shape Conrad's in?
Oh, he's in bad shape.
Well, he's in Canada eating nothing but poutine.
Yeah, that's all he eats is gravy-filled potatoes.
I think you're in a good spot right now.
Yeah. But,
so I got like maybe 5 years.
Well, Patrick, you are a man of honor, and, you know, moving forward, you are the Buzz Aldrin of this new show on WGN-FM, so.
Did he call
beautiful
for a reason?
Beautiful.
I don't know. Why did you call, Patrick?
I just wanted to call and let you guys know that I was fucking.
That's okay. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. It's fine.
That's why you're the Buzz Aldrin.
I was devastated.
You're right, Bass. Patrick, Neil Armstrong would have never made that mistake.
Neil Armstrong got off the moon and had like a classic line of Buzz Aldrin came off with the curse.
Yeah, exactly. Neil's was like one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Buzz like, F this, man.
I was like, ah, snap, man, snap.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. Hey, I just wanted to let you know that it's great to hear you guys again, and I'll follow you guys wherever you go, man.
We appreciate that. Patrick, you are, I'll tell you real quick, Patrick, before I let you go. You're the reason that we are on. We got thousands, literally, I can't believe how many people listen to this show. When I was in Vegas for Sam's wedding, I met listeners from Korea, Australia, people all over our country, all over Canada. There's people listening everywhere. And it's honestly, Patrick, because of you that we are on. I mean, you guys have proven, I can't believe how many listeners we have. I didn't know until we got taken. I wish I would have known.
I haven't been able to hit a buffet without getting recognized.
Yeah. Aren't you base? Yeah. All right, get out of here. We know you're going to eat everything. Please leave.
We thought we had about seven listeners.
Base is actually the reason I started listening to the show. The first couple minutes, I was in love with Base. He was awesome. And then I hated Abe. For some reason, I just hated Abe. An hour later, I couldn't stand Bass's voice, and I thought Abe was the man, and I was hooked ever since.
You know, my wife says the exact same thing every day.
Exactly.
You know what that reminds me of, Patrick? Freshman year of high school, I was the only kid who liked Metallica, and senior year, I was the only one who hated Metallica. Because, you know, that's when, like, the Load albums came out.
Yeah.
So I was an original fan, and then by senior year, I didn't like them. So, you know, I saw the light, as you would
say. And where are you at now on Metallica?
Yeah. Just like every band now, I'm not passionate really about anyone.
Right.
So it's just like, you know, except maybe like the Black Crowes or something, who I really like.
You are wearing a Mozart shirt, so is that what you're passionate about?
No, because Ryan gave it to me, so it fits nice. And
is that what happened to you?
Yeah.
But you're right, though. I mean, I think you pick your battles as you get older, and caring one way or another about Metallica isn't in the cards.
Like Sam, still care. Like, you can't never talk to Sam about music.
Ever.
The Arcade Fire, the greatest band of our time!
Oh, God, Sam, please stop. Like, you just have to stop talking and just let him go.
No, it's not. But why at a certain age, are we expected to stop caring about the things we cared about when we were teenagers?
Sam,
why is that?
No one said you're expected. It's that you just find other... To me, and to Abe, I'm sure, he's got other things to worry about than getting in a fight with someone over Metallica.
Yeah, like finding
really
the right... Finding the right bathroom? That's what he opened the show with.
Yeah. I mean, that's important, Sam. That's more important
than arguing about Load, or, you know.
Well, I've never changed my passion on the Metallica argument. I still stand firmly in the Metallica camp, so.
But see, when Sam gets, when he gets into a music conversation, you have to just let him talk, and eventually he'll stop.
Yeah. He'll run out of gas.
He's like an iPad, right? If you just let it play, eventually when you wake up the next day, the battery's dead, you're like, oh, thank God.
And I do. I find myself in that mediator role, and I always tell Abe, Just let him, Abe, stop.
I will just say,
don't say anything else.
You guys are too young to be in your easy listening stage.
We're not easy listening. It's just we're not going to get into a drag out, knockdown fight over Limp Bizkit.
I don't think anybody who's discussing where a good place to find a bathroom is easy listening.
Yeah, I like the hard stuff, Sam. Jay the Gay, another squad leader. Not only is Jay the Gay the squad leader of the gay squad, he's also the official Abe Cannon Show secretary, only because we're too lazy to write anything down. Mm-hmm. So Jay the Gay actually listens to every show, and he has an archive of every single squad. Jay the Gay, do you have that list handy, by the way, of the squad leaders?
I have it around. Do you need it right this second?
Not this second, but Jay the Gay keeps track of every single squad leader. Maybe next time you call in, Jay, we can have you read that list without, you know, the profane
ones.
Yes,
the edited down version. Now, can I make a small, little tiny gripe?
No.
So I spent weeks, stalking in parking garages drunk, looking for Ryan and being a complete belligerent mess because there was no show all of a sudden, and Conrad gets picked up before me.
Well, Jay, you weren't on the line. You just called in right now.
Yes,
I took
away. Listen. That's because there's like one phone line there, okay?
No, there's not. We have 14 phone lines.
Well, apparently it was. They were all busy. The show is blowing up already. The point is, I should have been first. I cannot believe you took Conrad. If I wasn't the official secretary of the show, I would be taking all the records right now and throwing them out and just in rage. I'm beyond myself right now.
You know, Jay, they say the third time's a charm. So just, you know, yeah. I think we're really hitting the groove here, pal. Just be content with where you're at.
Number three is a good spot for you, Jay, because Conrad broke the ice. The second guy took the loser role, the guy from Phoenix, as the Buzz Aldrin.
I always refer to Jay as the third hole.
But, Jay, the third spot is where we really get into the groove with callers. So you really got the premier calling spot. No one remembers the first guy. If you ever see the radio shows, we're like, all right, who's the first caller of the year? Now let's call back in 2015 and let me know your name. No one remembers that name.
That contest has never worked.
It never worked.
There's never been a winner to that contest.
So I guarantee in 2015, when because we're not leaving here, just so they know, we're going to be on next week because we're not leaving.
That's why I was thrilled there's a bathroom in here. We literally do not have to leave this room.
Sam, put the chair up against the door so no one can get in.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
We got a coffee machine. We got a fridge.
But we're not, honestly, we're on this week. But after this week, we'll be on also because we're not going to leave.
That's right.
So in 2015, Jay, when we're on, and I say the winner gets Blackhawks tickets, who could tell me who the third caller was? Everyone's going to remember it was Jay the Gay. When I say
everyone's
who was the first...
Remember. Listen, everyone's going to remember it was Jay the Gay because Jay the Gay has a lot to say, as we've all known from the other show.
Yeah.
But it's just going to be...
Thirsty, Jay, you're getting a little thirsty like Conrad, though. Let's not bring up the old show too much because people haven't heard it.
Listen,
so let's introduce you to this new audience, Jay.
I had a lot to say there. This is just going to be a toned-down version of Jay the Gay. But Jay the Gay is here. Jay the Gay is always going to be here. And once I get the address from you, Jay the Gay will probably be outside waiting.
Well, it's a Tribune Tower. This place isn't hard to find. It's a Tribune Tower.
Hey, I was going to say, this is a landmark.
If you can't find this, Jay, then you have some problems. Yeah.
Listen, I didn't know where you're broadcasting from. You know, not the old studio anymore. So clearly, I didn't have an idea. Now that I do, I'll hop in the car and resume what I used to do.
But
back
see, we're not on the street level studio. We're up on, you know, on the seventh floor here, so you can't...
I was always in the parking garage waiting anyway, so, I mean, you know.
We have a secret door, Jay, don't worry.
I'll make sure to sneak in.
We'll figure out a way not to see Jay the Gay ever.
Yeah. Wow.
No, I'm joking. Jay, I'm joking. It's good to hear you, Jay. It really is.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. And let me tell you, it's been really crazy. And as Abe said, I'm the official secretary of the show. I have literally, and I'm not kidding, fielded hundreds of texts, direct messages on Twitter, emails, people just asking what's going on, and I'm like, there's something coming, I can't really explain it yet, I'll get more to you when I can, and then all of a sudden, bam, this announcement, and people are crazy, they're passionate. As I said, I couldn't get through right off the bat because the phone lines were completely filled. Obviously, you were missed, we are excited and ecstatic that you're back, and, you know, I'm going to spend every night that you'll be on, since you plan on not leaving the studio... listening. The show means a lot to me. It means a lot to all of us. And we're just really happy that you're back. So.
Well, Jay, I'll tell you one thing. You are the first Chicago caller. Because Jay the Gay lives in Chicago. WGN-FM, we're a Chicago station. We're in Chicago. I know all our other callers have been from Phoenix and Canada. But, Jay, you are number one. You win! You're a winner, Jay.
What's my prize? Is it Ryan? Say it's Ryan, please.
No, you can have Sam for a few minutes.
Okay, I guess.
All right, well, Jay, you are a man of honor, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you tomorrow night.
Of course. I'll talk to you later, guys.
All right, later, Jay. Oh, sorry, I cut him off.
No, you say goodbye. There's no cutoff there.
Yeah, that's fine. All right, well, here's what we'll do then. We got to get into the Super Bowl, the car wreck of a Super Bowl, the worst Super Bowl in my lifetime that I could remember. It was like a lottery, right? One person wins, in this case, one city won. Mm-hmm. And everyone else is mad. Like Seattle is like the one guy who won the Mega Millions, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, yeah! And the other billion people, shucks.
Mm-hmm. Ripping up tickets.
Oh,
that's
man.
True. That's a good analogy. Because if the Patriots win, you know, or the Cowboys, I mean, they're American.
Well, it doesn't even matter.
They're widespread, but there's love all over.
No, but even if the game was like last night and it was the Patriots who won.
Oh, I see. What
only boss. It was such a horrible, boring game.
But we can get into it later. But even Seattle fans aren't their excitement wasn't what it would have been if it was a close game.
Oh, God. The game was over after the second half, yeah. The second half kickoff. The game was over.
And you can't maintain that excitement when there's nothing to be excited about.
Unless you're pretending to be excited.
Even yeah. the Seattle fans were watching Downton Abbey in the second half.
So. I was going to say, you know, did the Super Bowl even win the ratings? Like, was it number one for this week, hour one of the Super Bowl? Number two, hour two of the Super Bowl? Number three, Puppy Shark Ball. Tank? Number four, hour three of the Super Bowl? But all right, you guys are calling in 312-235-2525. We'll take a break. It's the Abe Cannon Show. It's WGN FM. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. All right, it's the Abe Cannon Show. WGN FM. We're having some Wi-Fi issues.
That's that.
Oh wait, maybe I should turn your mic on too.
See, that's the first day stuff we're talking
see,
about.
See, we're not home yet.
That's what I'm saying.
See, now we're back.
You stepped in the puddle right now.
See, we just got real comfortable there, and now we're uncomfortable again after that song.
Dead air usually does that.
No matter how here we go. Hard you
try, you from can't the top. Stop us now.
No matter. Hey, by the way, Bass, edit that out in post-production. Here, this is what we'll do, Bass.
Let's just start right now.
We're going to start right now. Edit everything out before then for the podcast listeners.
Three,
here we go.
3, 2, 1.
Nope.
Still messing
you
up.
You got to start from the beginning.
Nope.
All right, here we go. We're going to start.
3, 2,
well, wait, we're not ready.
Bass.
Bass, just get out.
God, you're like.
Get out of my head.
You're like Joe Namath.
I'm trying to give you time
no,
to
Bass is
to
being
restart.
Thirsty.
I'm trying to give you time to restart.
No, you're not. You rushed it. That was a fast count.
All right,
Joe Namath.
Here we go. Joe Namath. Joe Namath screwed me. I'll talk about that in a second. 3, 2, 1. Here we go.
Nope. It's fine. It's Ryan. Close enough.
Yeah. Ryan, just stop.
You talking, no, mess
hey,
it up.
Here we go. 3, 2, here we go. We're going to start up the show right now. The second segment. Here we go.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you
nailed
can't
it.
Stop us now.
Bass is world class.
We gotta get Bass in one of those Joe Namath coats. Where do you find something like that? Probably only at like a fur store, right?
Yeah, that's
like, I've never seen that in a store.
Why did he wear that coat?
Something happened with him. Like, what's wrong with that guy?
What do you mean, what's wrong with him now? He's been like this his whole life. This isn't new. Joe Namath was the guy who would walk around back in the 60s in only that fur coat.
That's what, you know, I didn't realize that, and somebody was posting on Twitter today. I guess he was known for wearing fur coats back when he was in his prime. I didn't know that.
He had pictures wearing, like pantyhose and all kinds of stuff. So he's always been like this. He's just trying to bring it back. It's like Rodman in North Korea doing all his crazy stuff now. Everyone's like, whoa, what's going on? It's like, that's how Rodman always was.
And I think that may be, I've known that Joe Namath, didn't he like lick a reporter's face or like?
No, he went up to Susie Culver. He's like, I want to kiss you.
Yeah. Right.
I want to kiss your face.
I understand that he's had these like, these weird things, you know, his whole career, but that, I mean, the older you get and you're still doing it, the worse it is. Like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
back
you become
in the day
that creepy old man.
When
it was cool.
The man.
Well, when he was
fur,
hot,
and
right?
Fur was kind of in style. Like, it made sense. Yeah, Joe Namath, fur coat.
No, but he's Broadway Joe. Runs the city.
He's
that's what he does.
It's almost like me wearing the same one-piece pajama outfit I wore when I was 4.
Except you're
now,
Sam. Except
you're at the
Sam,
age of 33.
But you're Sam Cannon. Joe Namath ran that city.
Yeah, but Bass, here's the point. It's cool when you're hot, right? Like, Joe Namath was a good-looking guy. All the girls thought he looked good. They all wanted him. He was like the, you know, like Tom Brady now, kind of, right? All the guys want to be him. All the girls want to, you know,
right.
Do him.
But
be
what,
with him.
What happens, though, is that there's a new generation of people who don't know Joe Namath.
No one knows who he is.
And they're watching the game, and they just see an old guy in a fur coat. And that's what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, who's
he's
drunk,
not Broadway
he's drunk.
Joe. He's not, to at least half of the audience, he's not Broadway Joe.
He has that look on his face, that like red nose, you know, the drunk red nose.
Yeah, it's a gin
blossom. Hey man, let's flip that coin. He flipped the, I'll tell you this, heads has hit 5 years in a row, okay? I put a few $100 on heads because it hits every single year. And what happens? Joe Namath, I said Joe Namath is going to be a wild card on this coin toss. I know he's going to mess it up. And what did he do? He flips the coin before anyone calls heads or tails. So the referee catches the coin midair. The minute that happened, I was like, oh, that's it. It's kind of like when I'm at the casino and I see my dad. It's like a black cloud goes over my head. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh God, what's he doing here? If you're, you know, when certain things happen, the black cloud goes over your head.
And it's true, Abe. Before the referee handed him the coin, Abe yelled, oh no.
Yeah.
He literally yelled, oh no, out loud when Namath popped up on the screen. Yeah. The second his face was on, he said, oh no.
Yeah. I knew some shenanigans were going to happen with Joe Namath. I knew it for sure. And what happens? Yeah, man, let's toss that coin, man. Oh, wait, hang on, man. You got to call it first. Oh, there goes my $300.
And
the minute that happened, I knew I was dead in the water.
And think about how much differently that night might have gone had Joe Namath not been too thirsty to get that coin in the air.
Oh, thirsty. Just had to get
Seattle
that coin.
Seattle doesn't get that safety, which set the pace for everything. That
and
was
Denver
it.
Would have deferred and probably could have started off the second
half. Yeah, exactly.
It.
And then the safety. Yeah, everything spiraled out of control because of Joe Namath. I blame Joe Namath. You know Vegas is going to build a new casino with the money they made yesterday? Everyone had Denver. Mm-hmm. I guarantee there's going to be a new Caesars property. They're like, well, remember that property we were going to build in 2035? We have enough money to build it tomorrow.
And they're going to name it Joe Namath.
Namath.
Yeah, Namath.
Yeah.
Tails.
Namath's Casino.
Yeah. Tails.
And there's Tails logos everywhere.
Abe, how much did you lose?
300 on heads. 300?
No, well, on heads, but how much did you lose on the game? Because I know you had Denver.
Just a few hundred more. But
I like how you bet 300 on heads.
Because it hits 5 years in a row!
That's very disturbing.
If something comes 5 years in a row, I'm pretty confident.
Wait, why does this shock you, Sam?
It doesn't shock me, but it's just...
Sam, you know my bet every year is heads. I talk about it for 6 months leading up to it. I got to put some money on the line, right?
But the fact that you spend 6 months of the year pondering heads or tails on one day is kind of sad.
This is how serious...
Especially when Cruella DeVille is flipping the coin.
This is how serious Abe is about heads or tails. I said, I'll bet you $10. He goes, that's not worth my time. And the conversation ended.
Do you want me to tell you why, Base? Me having to worry about collecting $10 from you, it's not even worth it. Because if I win, I'm never going to pay you. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm going to be like, oh, Base,
Abe, I'm not shaking your ankles down looking for money. It's just a fun bet. I wasn't looking to profit.
So why
you.
Even make a bet then? It's not worth
it's
my time.
Because heads or tails is such a weeny kind of a bet.
Base, that's a bet you make with me, not Abe, okay? There's no fun bets with Abe. Abe's not...
Yeah, I don't gamble for fun! Yeah,
Abe doesn't... He's not like... He's not a clown when it comes to gambling.
And Base, Abe is right. If it's not a bookie, he won't pay you. If I win a bet from Abe, if you win a bet, you won't get paid.
That's true.
Only his bookie gets paid.
Unless you're standing right there going, you owe me.
Can I give you, I want to pay you a compliment though, Abe. I was, for the first time in years, you were not you weren't a problem for me last night. Like, it's been impossible to watch some Super Bowl game.
Well, that's because I usually win on the coin toss, so it starts things off with a great, you know, it's a great way to start off the night. And the minute that coin toss hit tails, like I said, the black cloud.
Yeah.
Right over my head, and the whole night was ruined. I was done. And then the safety happened. I knew the minute, like I said, Joe Namath cursed the Super Bowl. And then the safety happened. Peyton Manning throws interceptions. All this stuff that would never happen was all set up, a chain of events caused by that moron Joe Namath. Yeah, man! Let's toss that coin up, man! Which one is it?
I'm curious why Ryan is saying you're not a problem. Because what I think it is, Ryan, is I think that since we've been off the air, you haven't seen Abe as much.
No.
Abe was as big of a problem last night as he is every night.
No, I didn't get to say. Okay, so if I compare it to 2 years ago, Abe didn't sit down once. He paced.
That's because I was winning money.
Oh, but you ran the show on the squares. You had like four separate squares pools. You had your own little corner of the room, like an accountant's office, where you were just, money was coming in, going out. It was like, you were like a one man,
let me tell you,
like a stock exchange floor.
You want me to tell you why?
Why?
Here's some inside information, okay? So, you know, you ever hear those commercials where they're like, call best bets for the guaranteed winner. If you call today, you'll get tonight's pick, which is a five-dime winner, right? Mm-hmm. So I called one of these hotlines once, right?
Mm-hmm. Like how recently?
This was like at least 2 years ago.
Okay.
When you call, a girl answers and she goes, what's your number? I'll have an associate call you back. I'm like, oh, I actually just want the free pick. Oh, I have to have an associate call you back. I said, they say on the commercial, if you call, they'll give you a free pick on voicemail. Mm-hmm. So it's a scam, right? So whatever, you call, they never give you the pick. So then I'm like, okay, whatever, I'm out, right? So they sell your information.
Right.
Okay. So my number got sold to all these bookies and all these like, hey man, it's me with Tom Johns. We're number one in Vegas. We have all the picks. Just give me $100 and we'll get you started. Blah, 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 blah. Right. So I get these calls all the time. They never give you picks. I had a guy last week. He mm-hmm. calls me. He gives
this me- is weird, by the way. I just want to let you know that. This is weird.
Well, I have to block all these people. They sell your info, and okay. they call you. They try to get you to sign up.
I know.
Up.
I understand that, but it's just a weird world that for 2 years you've had bookies call, or like you've had these people calling you to try and make bets, and I've never known about this.
It's case in point as to the kind of degenerate you really are. Because I've never heard anybody saying this.
I would think that he would prefer to take those calls instead of the collections calls.
Yeah, exactly. Right up there. And base, if I was a degenerate, wouldn't I be paying these guys to get this info?
I've never heard somebody say I've had to block all these fake bookies. I've never heard that in my entire life. And I know a lot of degenerates.
Okay, let's play this game, Sam. I'm going to call tomorrow from your cell phone.
Okay.
And let's see what happens.
Abe, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm
okay, just, so here's
I'm
what happens.
Sounds like a fun game.
That it's a strange world.
You're right. It is strange.
Like if you're into, let's say, carving wood, I bet you there's not some number that you call that a bunch of wood carvers blow up their phone for years. It's just...
You know you're in a bad situation.
Hey, it's Woody Woodchuck here.
You know you're in a bad situation in life when you never answer your phone, right?
Yeah.
My old house phone, it was all bill collectors. Hey, I'm calling you from whatever recovery service. You owe $752 to fill in the blank. So anytime they call, here's what you say. And here's a tip for all the men and women of honor listening. If you don't want to pay bills... Here's what you say. Here, Ryan, you be the guy, and then go through the spiel about what we're recording you, blah, blah.
Hi, this is Bill from Debt Collection Services.
No, recovery, they always say.
Debt recovery for your information. This call is being recorded.
Oh, I don't want to be recorded. I do not want to be recorded. I have no problem talking to you, but I don't want to be recorded. They immediately hang up on
me. Well, I can't press stop. I have to get the engineer.
Well, I would love to have this conversation with you, but I do not want to be recorded. When you tell them that, they hang up. That's a little tip for all you people who are running from different bill collectors.
Great tip.
That is actually a pretty good idea.
Say immediately, if anyone ever called you that you don't want to talk to, and they say, this ain't being recorded. Hey, quality control. You immediately say, I don't want to be recorded. I'd love to have this conversation. You could call me back from a landline. I do not want to be recorded. They all hang up.
It's almost as good of an idea as paying your bills on time.
Well, you know what?
Maybe I should do that.
To further it.
That'll do it every time.
I was at Abe's place a couple nights ago, and I noticed he has a nice, neat stack of mail about 4 feet high. Unopened mail. So if you don't open any mail... And don't take any calls. I guess ultimately you'll never have to pay your bills, right? Unless
that's
they come
I don't pay my
and
bills.
Physically arrest you.
And then at some point that phone stops ringing and you go, oh, that's right. They shut that off.
Well, that's why we're here, to get the money to pay. I'm going to need about $1.5 million a year to get caught up. But so let's get back to the story, okay? So I get all these calls. I always block them. And right when they call, I say this. I say, give me a pick or I'm going to hang up. That's why we set up. Right? I say, listen up. I say this. I'm like, if it's a deal breaker, this is why we say to these guys, hey, what's up, man? This is Jimmy Johns from Jimmy Germain's gambling service. We're number one in Vegas, blah, blah. I'm like, if you don't give me a pick right now, I will hang up the phone. I'm not playing this game. I'm not giving you my credit card. This guy called me and he said, hey, man, take the Pelicans over the Cavaliers tonight. And then I'll call you tomorrow, okay? I didn't bet on this game because I don't know who this guy is, right? Pelicans win by like 14 points.
And was this the first legit tip you've gotten?
First, because no one ever gives me
the
a tip.
The first tip right. he got, period.
It's yeah. the first tip I right. ever got, okay? Then the next day he calls, he's like...
Did you, the minute they said Pelicans, were you like, this has to be a scam?
Yeah, I'm like, why are you putting on a Pelicans?
To be a scam.
The minute I hear the word Pelicans, I'm like, you want me to put money right. on the Pelicans? Whatever.
So, but it was smart to not do that and to see how it went. Yeah. And then, did he call the next day?
Well, here's how I played the game, because I know how to play the game, too. The minute he said take the Pelicans, I'm like, oh, I already have 200 on the Pelicans. Just so, because I didn't want that to count as my bet, right? Because I knew that this was going to be an issue with me getting more picks eventually, right? So immediately when he said that, I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm already on the Pelicans for 200. Which, of course, who would ever be on the Pelicans, right?
By the way, if you already have a response for this guy, you're a degenerate.
Yeah, well,
you
I don't,
already have the. I've already no matter put what, money on this.
I know it sounds. So I honestly don't gamble that much. I'll lose $100.
No, that's a lie.
It's not. I'll lose a couple that's hundred a at the most, and then it's like, oh man, that sucks. But whatever. So I told him, yeah, yeah, I'm on the Pelicans too. He's like, oh, good, great. And then he said this line, quote, "Great minds think alike." And I'm like, well, it's cool, man, because we're on the same game anyway. So we'll see what happens. Whatever. The Pelicans win. The next day, he's like, all right, take the Cavaliers.
So he calls you again.
Then he calls again. He's like, all right, man, I got a pick for you. Take the Cavaliers or whatever, right? They win. Or no, he said take the Timberwolves. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Timberwolves were playing the Pelicans the next day. Timberwolves, it was Timberwolves minus 8.5. So me, that means that I need the Timberwolves to win by 9 points, right? They won by 11 or 12, right? The next day, he called me and he said, all right, man, if you want to get some more picks, you got to give me some money. So he asked me for $100.
And your mom's in my trunk.
So the first 2 days, though, it was just, this was like a long sell. He played it cool. He gave you a pick and hung up the phone.
But I won $200 right. on the second pick.
That's what he did. He wasn't pushing you
you're
to
right.
buy picks.
Yep, yep. Then the third day, he gave me the Knicks minus 6.5 against, who are, they blew someone out by 31 points. It was that game.
But this is the day he asked you for money.
I gave him $200 or 150, something like that. Whatever
so
I gave
him. He gave you a taste.
You're right.
Gave you a little taste. Mm-hmm. And then you bought big.
You know, it's funny that you say that because all whenever those guys call me, that's what I always say. I'm like, you know what, man? It's like any drug dealer. You give them a little bit of cocaine, you give them a little bit of crack.
Right.
Then they want more. I said, give me a taste. That's what I always tell these guys when they call me. It's like, hey, man, which credit card? This is always their line. They're like, all right, so you get this whole week of picks for $99. Which credit card are you going to use?
So wait, for people like me and Ryan who don't gamble, just let me get this straight. So he gave you two picks. In 2 days. And then the third day, you paid him $200.
It was either 150, whatever it was.
You paid him $100 to $200
yeah.
for one pick.
No, yeah, for that. No, no. To have, to make $1,000, he said, pay me $200. And I told him, I'm going to bet $200 per game. He said, if you bet $200 per game, you only have to pay me the $200 until you make $1,000, then you pay me more. Right? So I paid
him. Who regulates that?
No
well,
one.
I told him it's like a gentleman's agreement. See, Sam doesn't know what a gentleman's agreement is.
Yeah.
Me and Ryan have a lot of gentlemen's agreements.
You don't know this guy. You don't know this guy. You don't know that this guy's a gentleman.
Sam, you can imply that he's not a gentleman.
Of course, yeah. He's not a gentleman.
He bought Abe's phone number.
The way we met.
I mean,
he's not
I can't
a gentleman.
Believe you would even trust
Sam,
this guy.
The way we met. There's no way I could ever trust him, okay?
Okay.
I got a taste. It's like, here, man. And if you're a drug dealer, here's another tip. Give a little bit of weed to the kid on the corner, and guess what? He's going to want to get high next week.
I don't think you need to give drug dealers tips.
Well, they, yeah. You know, I'm telling you guys.
I'm just telling you, I think they're hip to that one.
You're 0 for 2 on tips tonight. But no, I hear you. So,
he gave me a taste. I got thirsty, okay? Whatever. His third pick, the Knicks. Minus 6.5, they won by 31 points, right? So I won back the money that he told me.
That so now you're calling him now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's like, and so the minute I gave him the 200, he's like, well, here's how it works. You got to call me. Here's what I do. I make things happen, and you got to call me. So then the next day he said, take Georgetown, okay? Georgetown were a 6-point underdog. Against Michigan State, okay?
You're not going to walk us through every day of your relationship
no,
with him, are
no,
you?
No, the relationship's over, and
okay.
I'll tell you why in a second.
All right.
We do have to take a commercial in a second, but let me explain. So he said, take Georgetown minus – or Georgetown were a 6-point underdog, okay? He said Georgetown is going to beat Michigan State outright. Either bet them outright, they're definitely going to cover the spread. Georgetown, who were a 6 or 7-point underdog, won the game by 6 points, okay? So I'm up like $500 or $600, right?
So now you're on your bathroom floor calling him the moment the game ends.
Oh, yeah.
Please give me more.
And then right away, he's like, oh, so here's how it works. I'm going to need $1,250 for the month, right? So he wants more money. I'm like, hey, man, I'm not a big-time gambler. I just want to get to the 1,000, and then we can talk or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then he goes, take UCLA minus 4. He said, put all the money that you made on UCLA. And of course, UCLA loses, right? So then the rest of the money I was up, I bet on Denver. So the bottom line is now I'm back to where I started at 0. Actually, I'm down 200 because I paid him 200.
So wait, did he call you after the UCLA game? explain to you what happened.
I haven't heard from him since the UCLA game. And I actually called him today for, it was yesterday. I called him today for another pick and he didn't call me back.
Have you been calling him like on Swingers when he's on the floor going, hey man, I don't know if you got this.
Yeah, I can't do, I just can't do this anymore. It's not you, it's me.
That's interesting. I'm glad you shared that with me. I'm serious. I feel like you never would tell me something like that. And it's really...
I would tell you if Sam's on the room. Because see, the minute Sam and I get into a fight last night, the first thing he says, that's because you're a degenerate gambler! Right in front of my whole family. Where's the money you owe me?
Everyone knows it, first of all. And I didn't know how dark this really was. I didn't know that you had a guy you had to...
How's that dark?
It's bad enough that you're betting on the Pelicans. That's bad enough.
Not really.
But the fact that you have a guy who you pay to tell you to bet on the Pelicans...
Let me ask you this. If I told you... I don't care what the situation is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
No matter what it is, if I told you, Ryan,
yeah,
I'm going to buy stocks, I'm going to bet on games, I'm going to move property. If I said... that you're going to win four times in a row, give me $200, wouldn't you try it until you lost?
No.
I know Bass would.
I would. But to be honest, I don't really care about your gambling situation.
Yeah.
I don't care if you lose all your money. It's fine by me. Hold on. The only problem I have that last weekend, Sam and I said to Abe, hey, let's go out to eat. And you said, I don't have any money to put gas in my car. And now I'm hearing that you're laying $200 on every game.
Well, that's because I was
that
losing.
Some degenerate's calling you to tell you to put on.
Well, that's because I couldn't collect my money until like the end of the week. So
that's
I had all this money in the account.
I come in.
Yeah.
Bass, he hadn't talked to that guy at that point. That guy hadn't come into his life yet.
Bass, you see, you and I have ATMs. Abe has a bookie. That's his bank.
You know the
I
great.
I need my bank to call me.
You know, during those 3 days, all the things that were spinning through my head about how rich I was going to be, I was thinking in my head like, I'm just sitting here watching the wheels go round and round. Like I was having, it was just like, just joyful, right? I'm like, another victory. And of course the UCLA game is the game that I started texting all my friends saying,
yeah,
a little birdie told me to put money on UCLA. Mm-hmm. You'll thank me later. And of course they lost and then I look like an idiot. You know, so I got so thirsty and I loved it. I loved getting those tips. When you gamble and someone is just, I mean, that's four games in a row where he was absolutely correct. The feeling when you see that,
mm-hmm,
you get thirsty and you want more.
So after
that
second win, are you adding him into your contacts and making sure the speed dial works?
But after the third win, I found out his name. He's like, oh, by the way, my name is Paul.
Serious.
Yeah. I didn't even know his name after the first two picks. When after I gave him the money, he's like, I'm like, well, what's your name, by the way?
Oh, Slugworth.
Yeah.
My name is Slugworth. Don't tell anyone your parents. There's a thing called an everlasting gobstopper. I need one of those.
And by the way, put 200 on the Pelicans.
I will give you one.
What if that's how it was? It was an encounter like Slugworth.
I will give you $10,000.
And now you get nothing.
Yeah.
You lose.
See, and that could be what happens is that then, so he'll tell you not to trust you know, Frankie, who's going to call... Frankie's got your number. He bought your number, too. He'll call you next. Don't trust him.
He's okay? A crook.
And then you know, he takes he puts the opposite bet.
Yeah.
And they just want to... They're working together to test
you.
Oh,
I'm sure. Yeah.
And if you actually take Frankie's
bet... You win!
If you take Frankie's bet, though, you lose. That's like selling the gobstopper.
Hey, you get everything.
I was testing you.
Yeah.
Even the chocolate?
Even the chocolate charm.
I'm serious. I this is going to sound weird, and I know we got to go to break, but it does. It makes me feel like I'm more, I don't know, don't take this weird, but like, yeah, I'm closer to you now that I know you have this problem of these guys calling you. I like that you shared that.
That was a good look inside the glass, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a break, guys. So much more to get to with the Super Bowl, and I see every line's lit up, so we'll take your calls too. 312-235-2525. It's the Abe Cannon Show. It's WGNF.
And so it begins. WGN.FM. She wore sandals on her feet. Side by side, two fell asleep in the mother's bed. She stepped inside of me. Said, don't ever lie to me. It's heart of mine can be yours, yeah, that's what she said. But I just played the role, broke the heart I stole. Cause I was young and dumb, fucked up in the head. Do you wanna be loved for real? Do you wanna be loved for real? Wanna be
Ryan, during the commercial, you described tonight as like the first time you like have sex with a girl. Mm-hmm. You said it's, you know, you're getting used to what they like.
Yeah, you know nothing when you go in blind.
You're gonna do your moves. Like I'm doing stuff like this. You know, like that's like one of that's like one of my moves. Mm-hmm. You know, like I keep doing this. You know, thinking they might like it, but I'm not sure.
Right, and you don't know until you do it.
Yeah,
it's like trial by error.
Yeah,
you know, or so, trial by fire and trial and error is what I meant to say. But yeah, I mean, Judd Surratt popped in during the commercial break, and I, you know, he said he was asking how it's going, and I said like way better than I thought, because I thought for 3 hours we were just gonna fiddle with like our our headphone jacks, and you know, just try and get used to it. But I don't know. She's riding pretty good
right
now. I
thought security might have walked us out half an hour ago.
I thought at first he was security.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Based on your
mic. Charade's over.
Based on your mic, could you turn off the tinny button that makes it sound all tinny?
I think you have the control of that.
How can I control that?
I there's no button that says tin.
See, now.
It's weird hearing bass in treble.
Like, it was a self-fulfilling prophecy, though, because that's exactly what we're doing right now.
Bass.
I just told Judd, this is what I was afraid of.
But bass, for the rest of the show, your name is Treble. Because you sound very trebly.
That was treble until further notice.
Bass! We went from our old show, his name was Bass, and now his new name is Treble. We'll get that worked out, though, by tomorrow.
Is this any better?
Oh, that's perfect. That's very good, Bass.
Hey, we have an engineer that
works. Oh, Bass is back. I like Treble.
Wait. Aubrey.
Aubrey, could you bring back Treble just for one second? Can we go back and forth? There's Bass.
No, what's don't a mess
bass?
With it.
Okay, it's fine.
Yeah, we're good.
Thanks, Aubrey.
Oh, Bass is back. I miss Treble already.
You don't want to throw too much at engineers.
Yeah, people we don't know, especially. Yeah. Like, he's like, God, those guys are a-holes.
Right. Playing game, huh?
Yeah, you play a game with me?
Playing games with the equipment.
Want to see what happens when you play a game with me? Hey, Pia in Chicago, what's up? Pia?
Yes.
What's up, Pia?
No, nothing. This is my first time listening to the show, and I think it's fabulous.
Oh, thank you. Oh, so you didn't listen to us on Sirius. You're a new WGN-FM listener.
No, this is my first time catching you guys. I think you're hilarious. I love the honesty, though. It's kind of shocking.
God, you guys are shocking! What's wrong with you people? I can't believe you said that! Oh,
yeah,
God!
I can't.
Well, Pia...
So this is pretty cool, especially your gambling problem stuff, so...
Don't call it a problem, Pia. That's where he shuts down.
Yeah.
He hasn't exactly admitted to the problem yet. He's just stating his weakness.
Hobby.
It's a hobby.
It's a hobby.
It's a hobby. That's all it is.
I'll tell you, Pia, my dream is to win the World Series of Poker. So, you know, that's my dream, is just to fall into money.
And for,
that's everybody's dream.
Yeah, see, this is my girl, Pia. She
for new listeners like Pia, you should also know, though, that, just 2 months ago, Abe stated that his dream was to be turned loose inside of a Burger King. Where he could build his own Whopper with ingredients that he brought from the outside world.
Well, I told you that woman ruined, you know, the way I normally eat. Pia, listen to this. So the way I normally eat fast food, I always get extra mayo, right?
Uh-huh.
So I was in a Subway. And there was a woman who came in. She was on a wheelchair. She had some handler or her son pushing her on the wheelchair, okay?
Handler.
He put her up against the wall where there was like, you know, there's always one table where there's like a removable chair for like wheelchairs and stuff like that. So
okay.
He sets her up against the wall. And he goes up to order. He's like, okay, so I'll have one cold cut trio with extra olives. And then I hear this from the back, Pia.
Lots of mayonnaise. Lots of mayonnaise! Lots of mayonnaise!
So, she wanted on her sub,
it was just a body, like a half a body sitting on a windowsill yelling about mayonnaise.
Exactly! I, and you know, Pia, I always get extra mayo, and I have different techniques that I use to get them to actually put more mayo on my subs, and what you do is, you say extra mayo, and then you look around while they're squirting it on, because they won't stop until you give them the nod. So if you want extra mayo, Pia, you say this, extra mayo, and then you act disinterested in the mayo, but in the corner of your eye, you're watching how many, like, lines they're putting on, and then when she says, is that enough, you're like, oh my God, of course! That's actually too much. So you're playing
the spaced out.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Oh my God. You put too much. And then she's like, I could take it off with a napkin. No, don't worry. So Pia, so I'm about to get a disgusting sub with just a half a tube of mayo, right? And I hear this.
Lots of mayonnaise.
And the minute I heard that woman, like you said, Ryan, half a body in a wheelchair, the handler is like,
is that light mayonnaise or whole mayonnaise?
Lots of either.
It ruined fast food for me because now every time I'm about to say extra mayo, in my head I hear,
lots of mayonnaise. Lots of mayonnaise.
So wait, it only ruined fast food, not mayonnaise?
It ruined the event of me having someone put it on.
Yeah.
Like watching them. Like if I go to a McDonald's and I get the Daily Double Burger, I'll say extra mayo. But if I have to watch you do it, in my head,
lots of mayonnaise. Lots of mayonnaise.
It killed the romance.
Yeah.
You're right.
That's what happened. It killed the romance.
I would have thought it would have killed mayonnaise.
But
no, because if I don't see you do it, it's fine. But if I'm watching you squirting it, all I hear in my head is
lots of mayonnaise. Lots of mayonnaise.
You like lots of mayonnaise? It's kind of gross.
I like it. I do like it.
My point is, Pia, when he says my dream is to win the World Series of Poker, no, I just wanted you to have a frame of reference for what other dreams he's had. And that was to build his own Whopper unmolested in an empty Burger King.
Oh.
This was a previous dream.
Pia, my dream is to go to a Jimmy John's, a Jersey Mike's, and build my burger. I want to go in there, put all my ingredients on, the amount of bacon I want, the amount of I just want to do it myself with their stuff because I can't do it for some reason. I can't do it at home.
Mm-hmm.
I can't make a Jimmy John's sub at home, mm-mm, right? It never tastes right. Even if I buy their bread and I buy boar's head meat or whatever they use and I buy Hellman's mayo, it doesn't have that same taste.
Right.
So I need to be behind the counter with unlimited options. I want it all loaded up. Everything you possibly have. And I want the option to put whatever I want on the sub.
Door locked.
Problem is you bought fresh ingredients too. Those ingredients at Jimmy John's have been there for months.
No, Jimmy John's pretty fresh actually. They put.
Well, Sam, that Jimmy John's that you go to has been closed for months.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And that's not Jimmy John's. That's Jerry John's.
Right.
And that's the bodega down the street from
you. It's a guy's house.
And that's not mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Ew.
But Pia, you are a woman of honor, and we'll be here all week, so we're on 7 to 10 p.m.
I'm going to be checking you out all week, so I really do. I think you guys are so fantastic. I just love this. It's almost like a fly on the wall in a man cave or something.
Hmm.
Very good.
Wow.
So I get to hear your secrets. I get to hear how men think, so this is interesting.
Well, they don't all think like this.
No, don't judge all men by this at all.
There's some Pia, there's some twink right now that doesn't think like us.
So. I can't wait to hear you guys talk more about sex, too. That's my thing. I love to hear guys talk about that.
We'll call you later.
All right.
Base, write this number down, 773. All right, Pia.
So,
have a good night, guys.
You too, Pia. I just want to kind of bring us back to, because we never really did talk about the Super Bowl.
Well, let's get back to Joe Namath.
Is the bottom line, though, that it sucked? Is that all?
Worst ever. It was the worst Super Bowl ever. Let's get back to Joe Namath, though.
Okay.
How many girls, do you think he tried to, how much sexual harassment did he do at that Super Bowl? Hey, you on the neck with me? Any of you girls wanted, where's Pam Oliver? Pam Oliver, man! What's neck? You know I like the black girls, man. In the 70s, I had one, Pam Grier. She was good, man. Bring her in, man. She's too skinny, but bring her over here.
I would love a hard number, a number of how many women hide when they hear him coming.
All.
You know what I mean?
No,
at this point, Pam Oliver can hear his voice down the hall. And
oh, snap, that's Joe.
And she just ducks or gets out, steps into a, the recess of a door, right? Just until he passes.
Well, it's funny because Joe Namath wanted to meet everyone in the janitor's closet, and they actually hide there to get away from him.
Yeah.
So he goes in the closet, and there's actually girls in there, but they're hiding from him. So he's like, meet me in the closet in 15 minutes, man. Because that was his old move, probably, right? At Studio 54. Meet me in the closet. I'm going to be over there, man. Come on. Let's party.
It's sad to me at this point. And it's even worse, though, knowing, Bates telling me, that's Broadway Joe. That's his gimmick. You know, and seeing aging wrestlers Right. You know, watching Jake the Snake Roberts come out with his snake and do the whole thing. It's like, but he just gets pathetic at a certain point.
He doesn't look like he's knocking on death's door. He actually looks pretty good for a guy who's almost in his 80s. And I think it's
is he
good.
That old?
Yeah, I think it's good that you trot a guy out like that who used to run that city. It's classic.
He looks more creepy than good, though, Bay. Somebody of sound mind should have said, hey, Joe, that jacket, not the best idea.
Don't let a guy like Joe Namath do anything important. No. And the coin toss for the Super Bowl is free. No. You know what you have him do?
Dude, I would not ask Joe Namath to go feed my meter, to go pay the parking. I would not. I would just get the ticket.
What you do with Joe Namath is you bring him out on the field next to other guys of his ilk, like Brian Bosworth or so, you know what I mean? These other guys who are loose cannons, Dennis Rodman.
Rodman, yeah.
You don't put Dennis Rodman on a long mic. Kim Jong-un. You don't give him the coin. Oh, I tossed, right? No, you got to wait. And then Abe's at home.
I think you can rest assured that he won't be doing any coin tosses.
Yeah. But you don't give Joe Namath a coin. You don't give him anything important. Do you have him trot out on the field? And ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to introduce Super Bowl winner Joe Namath. And don't even show his lips because he's going to say the F word.
God for sakes, yeah. Don't ask his opinion.
You do a wide shot on Joe Namath.
From his head down. And you can't see the mouth moving what he's saying.
You let him wave once because there's a chance that the middle finger will go off. And you get off that shot.
You definitely don't go waist down because his penis is out.
Yeah.
For sure. Right? Oh, I like to have it hanging out in the wind, man. I like the way that feels, man.
Yeah.
Let's party, man. I do owe you an apology, though, Ryan. And this was messed up. And I don't really feel bad about you because you've done things to me in the past where, you know, you put me in bad positions. I told Ryan for the Super Bowl that everyone was going to be wearing jerseys. So Ryan and his girlfriend showed up in matching Cubs jerseys. And on the back of Ryan's, it said Mano for his last name. And then his girlfriend had her last name on the back of hers. They were wearing matching Cubs jerseys to the Super Bowl. And when they walked in, I already told everyone. I told Ryan, that we're all wearing jerseys. I'm like, I doubt he'll actually wear it. The minute Ryan walked in, how hard was everyone laughing, Ryan? Did you feel like you walked into like a Richard Pryor like comedy bit? He's like, hey, man, the next guy who walks in, let's all laugh at him. Like, did you feel like that?
It wasn't even... The weird thing is that I wasn't even like, I appreciated your joke, your part of it. Like, I wasn't even upset about the jerseys thing. It was the assault. it was the overwhelming wall of laughter from people who were already drunk and mean. And, like, it just wasn't playful laughter. If half of those people were gone, it wouldn't have been a big deal.
At any point did you think he was pulling your leg? Knowing Abe and knowing that you've been to this party for many years, and we've never had a gimmick party.
Oh, I told him, I said, I don't have football. I don't have any jerseys. I have no jerseys, right? And then I remembered that I had a Cubs jersey with my name on it. And I said, can I wear a Cubs jersey?
And I said, yeah, everyone's just wearing random jerseys.
Just wear
a jersey. What did I say? I said, I'm wearing a Paul Konerko jersey myself.
Right.
See, you should be upset with Abe because the reason everyone cracked up is because all Abe talked about before you got there was, I think Ryan's going to wear a jersey. He's going to look like a total douchebag.
Yeah.
I told him to do it, and he seemed to believe it.
That's why I don't
it
go
was
to...
the anticipation.
That's why I don't go to any more Abe, any parties of his, because I know at some point the joke is on me. At somehow.
Well, Bass just figures.
No matter what time I come up, whatever happens, someone goes, hey, it's Bass. And everyone starts laughing at me for something.
Well, if Bass thought he was going to church with me, he would think the joke was on him. Like, I was going to, like, dump holy water on his head. Like, and the priest would be like, ha ha!
Satan was actually going to be there.
Bass, the key is, Bass, with one of Abe's parties, you have to beat everyone there, including Abe. You got to be the first person there.
That's what, yeah. I mean.
Because if you're not, Abe's always looking for an angle, and he's always looking for a good suspect, and people like you and me, Bass, are perfect candidates.
Just
for
walking targets.
That's
for
it.
We got there later than I would have liked, and I made a very clear, Laura kept asking me, what time are we leaving? And I knew that, you know, I knew when would be a good time to get there, and then I knew when would be really early. I was aiming at the early, I wanted to get there by 2:30.
Yeah. And the party started at 4.
Yeah.
But,
and I wasn't going to go in then. I was just, we were going to sit in the car. Until I thought it was okay.
You were going to scout.
Let's scout it out. Here's what I felt bad about, okay? Not you, because you just turned bright red, okay? When everyone just started laughing. I felt bad about the look of confusion on your girlfriend's face.
Yeah, you made her, you brought her into it for no reason. That's what it was. And she's not upset. I'm not. But I get what you're saying. It was like she was,
but she was like,
she was collateral damage in our, yeah, in our relation, our messed up and, world.
And when I invited you, I didn't, it didn't even like kick in that, oh, you know what? Probably Ryan's girlfriend's also going to do what he does. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think about that. And so I felt bad seeing that look of confusion. And it, she was embarrassed, and she was red, and you were red, and then I'm like, ha, 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 ha. I mean, if you were wearing, like, Bears jerseys or Seahawks jerseys, it would have been a little bit different, but you guys came in wearing matching Cubs jerseys.
And the laughter, honestly, what got the attention off of us was the first time we saw Peyton Manning's forehead, and he already had the dent in it.
Yeah, after one play.
And
he already had...
people started joking about that, and that was, like, where the I started breathing easy.
He had that dent even before the game started.
Yeah, he might just always have that dent. There's a lot of real estate there to dent.
It's kind
of
like when you're in school and you're getting picked on, and then the bully moves on to someone else. Yeah. God, Ryan, you're a loser. Oh, wait, Sam, what are you wearing? Your mom's pants? And then inside you're like, like you're so relieved that finally it's off you. Because when you walked in, Ryan, it was like just roaring. It was like Chris Rock doing his best routine ever. And the whole place went nuts when you walked in.
It was, but I would have appreciated it. I could have appreciated it more if some of the, you know, some of your cousin's friends were there. I mean, it was like Lambda, Lambda, Lambda over in the corner. And I was having a hard time taking it from them at that point.
Right.
Not like a disrespect thing, but they're all like, they were doing chants.
Who's this loser?
But you had a beer pong table set up in the living room.
There was they set up a makeshift beer pong table and put like tarps down over everything. And to have these people looking at me, mocking me, it was like, you guys were just, you're 24 years old chanting before you take shots. I mean, you have rituals about doing shots of Jaeger and...
Yeah.
Stop, okay?
It's like, what kind of world do you live in where you have to take that abuse?
Yeah.
You're 32 years old, and you have these morons. Ah! Waka, waka, waka! Yep. Hi, hi, hi! Waka, waka, waka! And they all know what it means. I don't know what it means. They're all doing these chants, and then you're the butt of the joke. All you did was wear a jersey to a Super Bowl party.
It wasn't as funny as they were making it. That was what my point was.
That's why I was surprised that you agreed to go to the game. The minute you said, yeah, I'm going to Ames to watch the Super Bowl, I'm like, you're going to go to that environment? That environment just breeds show material.
Hey, Linda in Oak Lawn, what's up?
I'll tell you one thing real quick, Linda. Hold on. I have to be honest, since we're being honest tonight, the main reason we went is that Laura loves the dog Chance that was there.
That's my aunt's dog.
Is that really it?
She likes to hang out
now
with
Chance. Now I'm hurt.
So,
you guys didn't come for us at all.
Hey, they love the dog.
Hey,
it's
especially
fun.
When you guys are laughing at them, you should be so thankful she wanted to stick around.
Yeah. You guys should have just left, Ryan. You should say, you know what? Later, and just walked out. Linda, what's up in Oak Lawn?
Yes, I just want to tell you this is the first time I've listened to you. It's a wonderful program. I'm going to listen every night. I'm going to call everybody I know and get on the internet and advertise for you.
Oh, very good. How old are you, Linda?
Too old. A lot older than you, probably.
Well, it's good that you're listening. And this is what I like, is that...
I'm 66.
A 66-year-old woman is able to find this, which is awesome. I love that. I love that. I love people like you, Linda, who are willing to embrace technology, and I think that's awesome.
Well, I can't do a lot in technology, but I found the station, and I think it's great. So
she can't turn it off
listening.
Now.
Should we make Linda a squad leader? Can we make her
maybe
the squad?
Maybe I'll become a fan club president. I've got a lot of experience in that category.
Linda, here's what we'll do. We'll make you the first squad leader with the WGN-FM show. Linda, Jay the Gay, add this to the list. Jay the Gay, the official secretary of the Abe Cannon Show. Moving forward. Linda is now the squad leader of Oak Lawn.
Sounds like a plan to me.
So whenever you call
in, that's a big title.
Yeah, whenever you call in, Linda, you say, hey, this is Linda, the squad leader of Oak Lawn. And then base will put, we have this thing on the call screener log here. It's like a blinking red light. And I immediately, Linda, have to take your call first because squad leaders move right to the top of the list.
Linda, I'm curious. Uh-huh. You said you had a lot of fan club experience. What does that even mean? Were you like the president of the
Wayne Newton,
Ozzy Osbourne fan club or something?
No. I started with Sonny and Cher. And so I still speak with Sharon. We're still friends.
And these are the official fan clubs, right?
Official.
Could you get Cher? Okay, if you still talk to Cher, Linda, it would be a big score for us to get Cher on the air. Could you call Cher? We're on another hour and 40 minutes. Could you get Cher to call in?
I don't know.
Could you try?
I don't know what she's doing. I could try, but I don't know if she could do it or not.
All squad leaders should be able to get share on this program.
And Linda, we're even willing to take Chaz if you could get her. Chaz Bona.
Him.
Well, I sort of don't talk to Chaz, but that's okay.
Linda, I don't want to make you feel unwelcome here by demanding things of you. I want to hear a couple others that you've managed.
How about Greg Allman?
The fan clubs.
If you don't get Greg Allman on, you're losing your stripes, Linda. You understand?
I understand. No, Chuck Negron, the voice of Three Dog Night.
Oh, very nice.
And in fact, he called me early this morning.
Oh.
He was live stream on the internet last night putting out a new album or a new record or CD or whatever you call it. And I was watching and we were chatting and just lots of other people from them, the Beach Boys, all kinds of people.
Actually, I'm going to call an audible. It's the first time we've ever done this. I'm moving Linda off of Vocal On. Moving forward, Linda is now the squad leader of aging rock stars that no one cares about anymore.
Right.
So, well, Jada Gay, add that to the list. Moving forward,
let me
tell
Linda. Cher is coming June 7th at the Rose at Allstate Arena.
Wait, is this Cher?
Cher.
No, I know. Is this Cher on the phone? Are you Cher actually trying to sell your event?
It's still Linda.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay, moving forward, Jay the Gay, we're going to make call an audible here.
You called it Omaha.
Yeah, Linda from Oak Lawn is now the squad leader of aging rock stars that no one cares about. Linda, you are a woman of honor, and we plan on talking to you very soon.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, later, Linda. Good talking.
It's pretty cool. I assume there's competition to be the president of the Cher fan club.
That's a great title, especially in the 70s. That's a hot
commodity.
When
fan clubs were the thing.
Yeah.
That was back when, Namath was in fur coats and that was, fan clubs were that was huge back then.
Fan clubs were much bigger back then.
Yeah.
Before
you were like a tech entrepreneur back then.
Yeah,
because it was an actual like interaction, right? It was like you received something in the mail.
Right.
It felt official. Now it's like hashtag fan club. And it doesn't mean anything.
You're right.
It's invisible.
If you had Cher, you were like the CFO of Twitter.
It was almost an occupation.
What's the thing from Game of Thrones when they seal the documents, like the candle with the wax? What's the thing called that they seal documents with in Game of Thrones?
I've never seen. I don't know. Well, I don't know.
It's like when you take candle wax.
Okay, call it candle wax.
And it's like a brand. Like, call in if you know what that is. 312? A seal, yes. Okay, you don't call in. A seal. When they put the seal on the documents, back when you were like the leader of the KISS fan club, you would get a sealed envelope from KISS, and it would say, this is Gene Simmons, and you're the fan club leader of KISS. And it would be very official, like you said. Now, I'm the leader of the Kesha fan club. It's like, really?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you have a Twitter page, and you just put leader of the fan club?
Yeah.
Like back then, the band would actually sign off on it. Yeah, we'll take him as the leader of the KISS fan club.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have no problem with that. Now you can't even do that. There's 25 people saying they're the leader of the Kesha fan club.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not as important anymore is my point. So Linda really does have a prestigious...
She's got the resume.
So much more that happened during the Super Bowl. The commercials, I don't know if you guys saw this, but there was a Coke commercial where they... They sang America the Beautiful, and it was all different races and voices singing. So it was like,
it was in different languages.
Beautiful, queso, bando, whatever. I don't know, speaking other languages besides English, but you know what I'm saying. So we go to all these different languages, show all these different races singing it. All these people are on Twitter. They're like, hey man, this is America. English, please. Apparently Coca-Cola lost their way, man. If you had a problem, if you had a problem with that Coke commercial, you're just racist. Like, there's nothing else that you, that, if you hated that Coke commercial, you need to take a hard look in the mirror because you are racist. Like, no matter what you say, like, you ever see the people who are like, nah, man, I'm not racist, man, I got two black friends, man. No. If you hated that Coke commercial, if something was burning inside of you when you saw the guy from India singing, you are racist. Like,
there's nothing threatening about that commercial. That's what I don't.
It was a beautiful commercial.
It was nice. And there were immigrants just like the guy on Twitter who's saying, I'm a Pepsi man now. Guess what, dude? Your great grandfather came here speaking only Italian and would have been in that commercial just two generations ago.
Well, I learned one thing in the Super Bowl. I learned two things in the Super Bowl. Number one, Peyton Manning sucks. Number two, I'm only drinking Pepsi moving forward, man.
Yeah, that outrage, I think what it was, that was a case of outrage stirring outrage. Like, it just snowballed for no reason. Completely out of control.
Just for no reason.
Did you know? Did you hear about the JCPenney thing? And it wasn't on the game, but they did
it. Twitter.
Yes, they did it during the Super Bowl, and they got probably more mileage out of this than anyone who actually paid $1.5 million or $4 million for a commercial.
I have some insider information on that. What happened was JCPenney were tweeting. Their tweets were all misspelled. They looked like they were tweeted by a 5-year-old.
Or drunk person.
Yeah, just horrible tweets.
They were terrible tweets.
And what I found out today was that they actually let Abe Cannon in charge of their Twitter account. They let him in charge for 2 hours.
But what they did, so then everyone started noticing other brands. Major brands were retweeting it going like, everything okay over there, JCPenney? Need a designated driver? I mean, it was like this thing snowballed huge during
the game.
So
did they do this on purpose?
So what? And then toward the end, at some point, their Twitter said, you know, we've been doing this on purpose. We've been tweeting with these mittens on, and they took a picture of the mittens, and they were mittens, Team USA mittens. They're doing like a special edition available only at JCPenney.
Oh wow!
So they got a lot of mileage for absolutely $0.
That is awesome. That's always been my idea, is for us to do like a WGN FM commercial and have it be like base laying naked and having like tigers eating sushi off him. Something that would definitely get rejected. And then, you know, everyone would pick it up. Like, do you guys see the WGN FM commercial? It's disgusting. But guess what? We'll have 50 million people viewing it on YouTube. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that was always my idea. Cause I don't have $3 million, obviously, to get us a WGN FM commercial. But if we get Bass to lay naked and have, you know, tigers eating raw meat off
I'd do it.
Yeah, you'll do it, Bass. And if you die, you die.
Anything for the show.
That's sometimes how it works out. Let's take a couple calls, then we'll take a break. Justin in Syracuse, what's up, man?
Cool.
Yeah. What's up, man?
Hey, man. I just want to say I miss you guys.
Right on. We miss you.
We miss you, too.
We miss you, too. We miss you more, Justin.
I mean, where you guys been? I mean, what's going on here?
We're doing the show on WGN-FM, so we're here all this week. 7 to 10 Chicago time. I know there's a lot of people listening not in Chicago. So if you're on the East Coast, we're on from 8 to 11 Eastern time. And then we're on 5 to 8 Pacific time. And if you're in Arizona, I have no idea because you guys are weird with your time. It's all over the place.
I'm in Syracuse, me being a dummy. I tuned in at 7 o'clock. Like, who is this dude talking? This doesn't sound like Abe. But I forgot about Chicago time.
Yeah, see, we should explain that for the guys like Justin. Justin, you are a man of honor. We appreciate you listening. We're on 8 to 11 Eastern time, 5 to 8 Pacific. And then us Chicago folk, 7 to 10. Chris in Florida, what's up? Now, we'd be on, Ryan, if I'm correct, 8 to 11 where he's from. What's up, Chris?
Abe, it is Chris here, the squad leader of the blind people.
Oh, nice. The squad leader of the blind. See, that was a great title that we gave out.
Chris, how are you, man?
Yes, I am good. I just want to say I'm so happy to see you guys back on the air. You can ask Abe. I've been blowing up Twitter ever since you guys went off of, you know, the old thing, what we're not going to speak about on here. We can? Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, we're not going to talk about it. I mean, we're on SiriusXM.
We don't have to avoid it.
It's not like they're going to be like, if you bring up that you're on Howard 101, you're fired!
Oh, okay. Well,
hey, you don't have to celebrate it. You know, you can mention you don't have to celebrate it. But what's up, Chris? What's going on?
They just did you dirty on there, and I just wanted to say I'm really happy that you guys are back. And, you know, if this for some reason doesn't work out or whatever, don't give up.
Because, no, we're not. Chris, I already told you, we're not leaving. We have a chair up against the door. They can't get in here. So we're going to be on every night, 7 to 10, no matter what.
But eventually they're going to, like, send the firefighters up if there's, like, a window in there or something. They're going to, like, send them through the window, so.
You know what's messed up? And, Chris, you are a man of honor, the leader of the blind squad. Now, that's a great squad title. Remember, Sam, when my iPhone died out, you came to my apartment and my mom was calling me? Like, that's how, like, he just said the fire department.
Well, my mom thought you were dead and I had to go do a health check.
A wellness check. You know you're in a bad situation in life when if you don't answer your phone or reply to someone, everyone just assumes you're dead.
Yeah.
Well, when you come on radio and you start telling everybody about your bookies that you're dealing with, right. Yes, this is a major concern.
That is a big burden on you, Abe. Every time you don't respond to a text or an email, everyone assumes you're dead. Why is that? Why is that the case with you?
I think that I'm too nice about replying to people very quickly, and everyone just assumes that I'm going to lightning quick reply to your text.
There's something to that. I mean, we condition people. We tell people how to expect to interact with us. We condition people to expect a response right away.
And how quick do I reply to a text, Ryan?
It's always
instant, right?
Yeah. So even at the risk, and a lot of times I won't text you because I know, oh, he might be outside right now, and I don't want him walking into traffic. he will text, at any moment when he won't drop anything. The text won't wait.
Yeah, I could be driving in a blizzard, mm-hmm. and if Ryan texts me, I'll be like, what's up, man?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm just driving in a blizzard.
And knowing that, all the more reason for the wellness checks.
Right.
And my left windshield wiper has 3 inches of ice on it, so I can't even get the snow off my windshield, but what's up?
What's up, man?
What's going on? All right, I think we've covered the Super Bowl enough.
Everything but the game.
And the halftime show. Bruno Mars was great, but Anthony Kiedis looks good for 51.
But not good enough to have his shirt off.
And here was this is what I was thinking about last night after the game on my drive home. I was thinking about, you never arrive shirtless. Anywhere.
Yeah.
Any, like a gathering, an event, a party. Yeah. You don't show up shirtless.
Unless
right?
you're a real piece of garbage. Because certain pieces of garbage are always have no shirt, I guess.
I guess, right? If you're in an environment where other people show up shirtless and it's accepted, that's fine.
But that's like seeing an albino dolphin or something. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's not very. Doesn't happen that often.
For everyone else, you don't arrive anywhere shirtless. If Anthony Kiedis, if he busted into Give It Away and after the first chorus, the shirt came off. Fine. Got caught up in the moment. Brandon Boyd from Incubus takes his shirt off at every show. Matthew McConaughey, every interview, his shirt's off. But none of these people show up shirtless. Showing up shirtless should never happen. Even if you're Anthony Kiedis, even if you look good for a 51-year-old guy, it's not a free pass to arrive without a shirt on.
You know what the problem was? Anthony Kiedis needs his shirt off at every concert, right? Because he's very proud of his body for some reason still.
Well, he's 50 years old.
I know, but he always, since he started, he always needs to take that shirt off. Now, at the Super Bowl, all they played was Give It Away. So he's like, oh man, I don't got time, man. I got to come out. They need to see me. Like, he doesn't want to go out and not have someone see him for at least one full song without the shirt on. So he had to call the audible. He was probably going to take it off halfway through, and in his head he's like, that's not enough time for them to see me shirtless.
See, I think he knew that there was a prop bet on whether or not he would come out shirtless or not.
Oh, there was, wasn't there?
There was. So I think he just went, all right, let's just do it.
I think those prop bets, you can only bet like $50, but if you could get enough people to take your, like, if I
you bet the house space, tore that shirt off, and went out and rocked
there was
it.
A decent-sized prop bet on whether or not Joe Buck would say marijuana. So he could have just set it in place to bet himself.
See, if you're Joe Buck, why wouldn't you just take advantage of any prop bet that you could take advantage of? I would do that in a second. If I were
Joe
Buck.
Well, we know you would.
I'd be like, Black Fox. If Joe Buck says Black Fox, it's 2,000 to 1 on your money. Well, as we could see, Peyton Manning is acting just like a Black Fox. what do you mean, Joe Black Fox?
I can't really explain it. No, it's not something I can put into terms. It's just, it's a Black Fox. That's all I can say. And I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Now, if you guys could all just keep talking while I check my bank account, and yes, it's there. Yes.
All right, guys, let's take a break. When we come back, so much more. The Super Bowl, Sam's wedding in Vegas, Bass, why Bass is the biggest scumbag ever. We'll talk,
whatever.
Maybe we'll talk about that next. 312-235-2525. It's the Abe Cannon Show. It's WGN-FM.
Yeah.
Sam Cannon Show, WGN-FM. If you want to find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff, just go to abecannon.com, A-B-E-K-A-N-A-N.com. I'll read a few tweets for you. This is from Kevin Botkel. Pia was awesome. You should have made her the squad leader of new listeners. Let's see. Linda is effing awesome. That's from Jay the Gay. Who is Linda?
Linda was the 66-year-old Cher
lady.
Fan club squad leader.
I was going to say, we already made her a squad leader. That's good enough.
But you're right. Lux7, you guys are proving that you could still have fun on regular radio. That's nice. Vin Armani, who's from Gigolos. He's listening. He'll be on the show actually Thursday. He's one of our favorite guests. He might be my favorite guest that we've ever had on our show. So he'll be on Thursday. He wrote, yo, I'll produce that commercial. The commercial of Bass getting the meat eaten off him by the tiger. So that's a few tweets. If you want
Maybe
to
we should have put it out there like that.
At Abe Cannon, A-B-E-K-A-N-A-N, if you want to call 312-235-2525. Now, I said we're going to talk about Sam's wedding, but before Sam's wedding, and the only reason why I'm bringing this up, Bass, is because when we were talking about things to talk about on the show, I heard you telling Ryan, you should hear this story about how Abe wouldn't give me a ride to the airport. And I was, how disgusted was I, Ryan, after Bass left the room, after I heard him say that?
I don't know how to put your disgust into words.
This was when we first got here today. I heard Bass say,
I gotta tell you about Abe not taking me to the airport.
How mad was I?
You closed your eyes, right? And that's how I kind of, like, you closed your eyes for, like, I don't know, 10 seconds and just shook your head no. Back and forth, slowly no. Like, it was whatever Bass was saying, his version, and he didn't tell me, and I still don't know the details, and I would prefer to hear it one of you and then one
of you. Yes, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let Bass give his whole side of the story, and then I will tell you what really happened. So, Bass, I want you to tell them the entire story about how I would not give you a ride to the airport.
No problem. The story goes like this. My brother got married in the Bahamas. We were spending about a week there, both my wife and I. The very last detail we had to do was leave my car at my brother's apartment, which is maybe 10 feet away from Abe's, if that. Maybe 2 blocks?
10 feet or 2 blocks? Those are very different.
It's more like a mile, but go ahead, Bass. I'm not going to interrupt you.
It's not a mile.
Just let him explain his version, and then, like I said, I'll tell you what really happened. Go ahead, Bass.
So, the very last detail is that our flight's at 6 a.m. We're going to leave my car and my brother's till about maybe 3 a.m. because Joe wanted to get there early enough. So, the very last detail is to get to the airport, O'Hare, which is a pretty decent far distance away. I could either A, walk about 8 blocks to a CTA at 3 o'clock in the morning in downtown Chicago when it's freezing, snowing, and she has all this luggage. B, I can call a cab and take $60 cab all the way that way. Or I could call my groomsman, Abe Cannon, who keeps drug dealers' hours and is up pretty much all night long. And the problem is I don't like asking Abe for any kind of a favor because I know immediately if I say, can you do me a favor, it's going to be pretty much met with every excuse in the book. And that's exactly what happened. I said, Abe, I don't want to do this. I'll buy you a burger. I'll buy you food, whatever you got to do. Would you be able to do this for me? And instead of Abe doing that, he immediately tried to talk me in to taking a cab. And then he said, well, my car doesn't start. It's cold outside. I think I actually have to go to the airport later. That might be the same time. He came up with 6 different excuses before I could say, Abe, this would be a favor for me. Please, could you take us to the airport? And he kept going, well, you know, if you just take a cab, it's only $20, so you may want to do that if you have no other option. Abe, this is the favor I'm asking you. You are the last option. Will you do me this favor? And instead of that, he says no. So I hang up, and in spite of all of his guilt, he starts texting me. I'll pay for your cab ride. I'm feeling bad. Here's your early Christmas present. I will Bing my Uber account for you. All you got to do, I have my own money. I'm trying to save some money. We're going to the Bahamas. It's going to be an expensive trip. I am looking for a friend's help here.
Did you? I'm
Wait. Are you done, Bass?
That should about cover it.
Abe, much like last night when you had restraint over the squares pool at the Super Bowl party, I would like to compliment your restraint during this conversation and not butting in. I'm proud of you. And before we turn it over to Abe Bass, I do want to ask two questions. What
two questions.
What time of day slash day was it that you were asking for a ride? That's important. Two, did you offer to give him gas money?
Yes.
What was the answer to the first question? Because I asked
the time,
you,
the time of day of the actual, wait, the time of day.
When did you ask Abe to drive you? Because if it's,
it was maybe it was like 3 days prior.
I'm saying base. What day of the week was it, and what time were you asking him to get in his car?
It was a Wednesday, and I was asking to get in his car at 3 a.m. to pick us up.
Okay. and I didn't ask that for that, but that is, I'm glad I did, because that's a key piece of information.
Just a follow-up question. Did you ask him at 3 a.m., or you asked him for a ride at 3 a.m.?
I asked him for a ride at 3 a.m.
But did you call him at 8 p.m.?
No, I called him like during daytime hours on a Wednesday. Oh, okay. It was like set like maybe 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
All right. So he didn't call you at 3 a.m., just to clarify.
No, the ride was to take place at 3 a.m.
Correct. Hence, the favor.
Got it.
This is like being in court. I'm letting you guys ask him all the questions before I give my side of the story. Are you guys happy with what you've heard
I need
from the prosecution?
And you did offer to give him gas money?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, now. I have one more question.
Okay.
Base, you said that he said at one point.
Overruled!
You said he stated that he may be going to the airport at that time anyway.
Yes.
Did he really say that?
Before he knew exactly what time, before I could even ask the whole favor, he started leveling all these different kinds of excuses.
Now, let me tell you what really happened, okay?
That was what really happened. Tell us the fake side.
Okay, I'm going to turn your mic off now, Base, because I know you can't constrain yourself like I did. Now, I'm just going to turn your mic off for
constrain
a second.
Constrain or restrain?
Restrain. I'm sorry. See, now I just look like an idiot. It's embarrassed me. Hey, you're going to... You can embarrass me in front of my friends like that? embarrass me like that?
All right, let's hear it, Abe.
Okay, I'm turning Base's mic off. Okay, so the flight... No, I'll leave it on, Base, because I know you're going to butt in. Okay, so the flight was 3 a.m., okay? Base, to save money on parking, parks at his brother's house, who lives on the north side, okay? Because Base has a permit, so he could park his car on the north side, because he didn't want to pay to park his car, which is fine. He was going to the Bahamas for like 1 or 2 days. So even if he paid for parking, it wouldn't have been that much. Whatever, he wanted to save money. The train, the blue line, is literally 3 blocks from Base's brother's condo, where Base went. Base actually drove somewhere to drop his car off to save money. Then the second part of saving money was to burden me at 3 a.m. on a Wednesday to come out and give him a ride to O'Hare, okay? It would have been on a Wednesday night at 3 a.m. from, Wicker Park area.
No, it was a Saturday morning, I was asking you.
Whatever it was. Whatever day it was at 3 a.m., it could have been Sunday, Monday, whatever it was. On Saturday night at 3 a.m., the roads are wide open. The cab driver could probably get you to O'Hare for about $20, okay? A $20 cab ride. And he goes,
well, I'm trying to save every penny because I just got married.
I said, Base, it's going to be a $20 cab ride. It'll be $10 each. You could take the blue line there.
Well, we're going to have lots of luggage.
I found out later they each had one bag.
That's not true.
What, do you have 2 bags?
No, she had like 6 bags, man.
6 bags for 2 days? No, she didn't. I'm going to turn your mic off. I let you give
Because you're already spouting out false accusations.
Base,
that's
everything
why.
You said was false.
It's not. I am telling you verbatim the conversation.
Okay, Base, let's let Abe finish and then we'll discuss. Let me give my side of the story, okay? So the whole time, Base is like, dude, I'll owe you big time. I'll buy you a burger. A burger? I said, Base, take the burger money and put it towards the cab, and I'll give you the rest for the cab ride. It's not about the money. But then he kept talking about the money. The whole time he was saying it was not about the money, and then he kept saying he needed to save every dollar. So $10 each, then he kept the whole time. I'll buy you a burger. Come on, man. It was freezing cold out. At 3, can you imagine, Ryan, having to set your alarm for 3 a.m. on a Wednesday when it's negative 10 degrees out to have to drive Base and his wife to the airport? So I have to spend gas money and meters and everything else, or not meters, tolls and all this stuff just to get him to the airport because he doesn't want to pay $20?
I mean, I don't think I could do it. If she had 6 suitcases... I don't have that room in my car.
Yeah, there's no way she had 6 suitcases for a trip to the Bahamas.
See, that was the first false thing you said was set your alarm. We all know you're up throughout the overnight hours. That's
Thank
when you,
you
stay awake. So you really weren't setting your alarm. Those were your regular hours. That would be like Base asking me to take him at 6 p.m.
I get it. I get why Base asked you to take
You were the one person who he knows is available during those hours.
I'll tell you this. Bass is the worst at taking a hit because I kept saying, Bass, if I'm your final option, fine. I'll think he's like, I owe you big time. Thanks. But Bass.
No, just, I got the hint, but didn't you get the hint that you were the last option? It wasn't a hint to take.
No, the last option's a cab. The last option's a cab or the blue line.
Yeah,
$20?
Abe was the first option, Bass.
Yeah, I'm the first option.
Abe was, I really don't want to ask Abe.
But you did, though.
Abe, are you done?
Hold on. Bass, if you really didn't want to ask Abe, you would have taken the L, right? Or last case scenario, before asking Abe, would be taking a cab.
Well, for me, I don't mind taking a train, but the wife does not like getting on an L train at 3 in the morning on a Saturday morning. And I don't know where you guys live, but what cab ride is $20 from downtown to O'Hare?
When there's no traffic?
Dude, yes, when there's no traffic, it's a $40 cab ride.
But so if it's 40 and you give Abe a 20 for gas and the $12 burger, you're at 32, and now Abe's up at, he's driving you at 3 a.m. I mean, I don't know.
It's the friendly favor. It's the friend favor. I would prefer not to spend and get gouged on any kind of a cab. I would prefer... This is a favor. That's what a favor is. A favor is putting somebody out of position.
It's different when I'm saving you $100 and you live super far. This was a $20 cab ride, maybe 30 at the most, or
it's
a short...
Stop it. It's not a $20 cab
ride. Bass, from Wicker
Park... It's $325 to even get in a cab.
Okay, so now you're at $325, and then what? Then it goes up to about $24, and you're good.
It's about $35, $40. I mean, that's what it is. But I want to ask you one question. Bass had mentioned that when... Now, one thing I don't know, did you end up taking him or no?
No!
You didn't take him, okay. So Bass said that after he hung up the phone with you, you started texting him and said, I'll pay for your cab.
Yeah.
You could use my Uber account, which is like a car service.
I was
right?
doing that as another hint to say how big of an a-hole he was to ask me. It's like, fine, I'll pay for it. I'll buy you
was
this
cab. Was
it
that, or did you actually feel guilty that you weren't taking
him? No! I didn't feel, it was another like Slugworth test. I want to see how big of a scumbag he really was.
Wait, hold on. I'm asking you for a favor. That makes me a scumbag? Friends aren't supposed to have friends for favors?
That's a scummy move to ask me to burden me at 3 a.m. on a Wednesday.
No.
Hold on. Wait, both of you. Listen, this is where, Bass, the favor becomes more than a favor when there are expectations. And if you asking a favor, you have to go into it saying, I completely understand if you're not into this. I'm just going to ask it. If you say no, cool. No expectations. But Bass, it sounds like to me, and even before the show, you said, I want to tell the story about how Abe didn't do me this favor. You're asking someone for their time. You're at their mercy. It's not where you turn around and say, what a prick.
But Bass, I would have
Hold on. I didn't even get to that point. Abe said, I'll do it if it's your last option. He never said no. He kept saying, if it's your very last option. Well, Abe, you're my last option. Can you do it?
Take a hint. When someone tells you, I'll do it if I'm your final option. It's kind of like, I need a liver. And I'd be like, Bass, you could have my liver if no one else dies tonight that has
everyone else
a matching
for their
liver. Yeah.
I'll say this. Abe's lived all over this country, and I've driven Abe to many airports, to and
you're
back
my brother
during odd hours. In this situation, you were the closest person to Bass's brother. You're about a mile from Bass's brother. It was during your hours. It's a 15-minute ride to O'Hare. It wasn't a big burden that
Bass
was putting
on. I'm not always up at 3 a.m. on a Wednesday. Sometimes I happen to be up playing online poker or something.
But guys,
I'm not always up. He's asking me. I mean, it's different. If Bass would have said, Bass, let me give you a reference point, okay? Bass called me once on a Saturday night. He said, my wife has a flat tire at the train station that was a few miles from me. Do you know that on a Saturday night at like 7 or 8 o'clock, I drove to the train station and I changed Bass's wife's tire? Do you believe that? I did that. Bass could have called anyone else who lives around there. He called me and I said, because that was a situation where he needed my help, and I was there to help him. If he would have asked me for a ride to the airport at noon on a Sunday, boom, no questions asked. No problem, Bass. You're going to be at your brother's place. But on 3 a.m. on a Wednesday when it's ice cold.
No,
up,
it was a Saturday.
What happened?
It wasn't,
I don't
like,
care.
It wasn't like you were working.
I don't care. You are
up that late, and that's where the favor comes in from. I know it's an imposition. I know it takes you out of your way, but friends ask favors of each other when it's a logical
decision.
That's
called
decision.
Being super cheap, and you don't want to spend $20 on a cab ride or $6 on the Blue Line or $24 on Uber or whatever the other ones. There's a million ways of transportation. Or how about this? Ask one of her family members. Why do I have to get burdened?
Because nobody else is downtown and you're right there.
They don't be downtown.
You're right there.
Hey, maybe Bass's wife, because you said Bass offered to pay for your gas and buy you a burger. That would have equaled the price of the cab right there. So maybe they just didn't like taking a cab.
I wouldn't even brought
and
this
as
up.
As a friend, you should understand that and just give them the ride. It really wasn't as big of a burden on you at that time as you're making it sound.
The fact that Bass thinks I'm the villain in this and he's the hero is unbelievable to me.
There is no villain and there is no heroes. I just can't believe that when I ask for a favor, instead of actually getting a yes or no, it's you're the last. I mean, anytime anybody ever asks anybody of a favor, you already feel like a jerk.
Okay, Bass, moving
you
forward.
Hold on. You already feel like there's no worse of a feeling than going to another guy and going, I need a favor from you. You already feel your tail's already between your legs.
Bass.
And then just to get swatted over and over again.
Over and over.
I'm a friend. It just hurts.
Bass. Bass, have I ever said no to you on anything, including changing your wife's tire at 8 p.m. on a Saturday? Oh, no problem, Bass. I got all covered in dirt. And then she also made that burger offer. What's with you guys and your burger? Are you Wimpy from Popeye?
No, because you're
I'm glad you put your Tuesday for a hamburger today. Bass is Wimpy.
Because you were the same guy who just a little bit ago admitted to that your old dream was to walk into a Burger King and make your finest Whopper.
Why do you and your wife...
a burger would be the dream come true.
Why do you and your wife think that a burger is proper payment for anything?
They're appealing, to your taste, is what Bass is saying.
No.
Exactly.
They both said burger. One was a changing of a tire, and the second was a ride to the airport. Why is that what you think is a proper payment, Bass?
Well, just at the time when I helped you move, and you offered me a beer.
After I helped you move.
Yeah, we've helped each other move before.
All right. Well, so we learned, what did we learn, Ryan?
Sum it up, Ryan.
Who do you think is right, Ryan? Sam's obviously going to take Bass's side because no matter what I'm sorry.
Enough. That's not no. Because what he's looking for is someone to say he's right. Saying Sam is obviously going to take Bass's side. That's ridiculous,
Ryan.
I'm just saying, hearing the facts and knowing you,
I'll give Ryan the last word on this.
You're saying
we'll give Ryan the last word on this.
I think that when you ask someone to do anything for you, whether it's, hey, could you go get that box and bring it to me? You have to be prepared for them to say no.
Yeah.
And if they do say no, you move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know the history of you two and favors. I don't know who's up a favor, who's down a favor, what the tally is. I don't know if Abe owes you a favor. I don't know if you owe him 10 burgers, Bass. I'm not sure where it stands, but I don't know. If Abe didn't want to take you at 3 a.m., that's his right to say, I don't feel like taking you at 3 a.m.
But he didn't. Instead, he kept... Okay.
It's obvious the room's divided, okay? It's Bass and Sam versus Abe and Ryan. We'll give, actually, Joe in Chicago will get the last word on this. Joe, who's right, who's wrong? And we do have to take a break after Joe. What's up, Joe?
Well, he should have did it this way. He should have picked you up with his car, had you drive him to the airport with his car, and then drove home. I think... You're both kind of like, looking to see who's right.
Joe, we need a definitive answer. All right, Joe, you are a man of honor. I know you've been holding a long time. Joshua in Wisconsin, who's right, who's wrong, me or Bass? I'll let you. I need a definitive answer, Josh. Who's right, who's wrong?
I think you're right, Abe.
Yes, and there you go. Let's take a break. 312-235-2525, Team Canada Show's WGN-FM.
Before and you've been there before.
This is the G.
You know we're called the G, Ryan?
I do.
Yo, the G. Should we have the G? Like LeVert, you know, the character I do, LeVert, he could be the G.
Oh, there's an actual
yo!
G.
Yo, it's the G.
Yeah.
That's what we should have
they
on this show.
They may change the name then if you do
yeah,
that.
We personify the G, and I think yeah. The G is no longer the G.
I think you missed the point, Abe.
Yo, this is the G!
No, it's not that kind of G, yeah. Abe.
Oh, it's not? No. Oh, okay.
No, that's not the G they're going for.
I'll have to talk to Jimmy DeCastro about that.
Yeah, I'll save you the conversation.
Hello, sir. Do you mind if we start having LeVert do the G-liners?
Yo, this is the G!
Thanks for the time, Abe.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
I like the show, but I don't like this whole G idea.
Yo, it's the G!
So, you know, when you run a nightclub, the point of it is to have, you know, nightclubs are the type of thing they're almost like...
They have a shelf life, a very, very, very limited... You're lucky to make it, you know, four years, I guess, with a hot nightclub.
Yeah, and... You usually take the lowest common denominator people, like spin-offs from the Jersey Shore. You have like all the people from, you know, like teen, like Farrah Abraham from Teen Mom. Like you bring in
Dustin Diamond.
You'll bring in Dustin Diamond
to do like a promo night to get some, you know,
who
screech
from
Saved
by the Bell, yeah.
And I think part of it, and I know you're going somewhere with this, but I think part of that, A, it's what you can afford, but B, I think there's a secret. It's that. Train wreck thing, like you invite these people who are on the edge into this establishment to do something
to get on TMZ,
to do something. You just hope that you don't hope they don't die, but you hope they do something very, very newsworthy and like you just hope something goes wrong.
Yeah, like you'll have like Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell come to your club, and you're hoping that he'll use the N word.
Yeah, what it is.
You're hoping that he'll get into a fight with you know, they'll say he was gay bashing. He'll get into a fight with a gay guy.
Like Shia LaBeouf was in the UK 2 weeks ago and got in a fight with some guy who said something about his girlfriend's mom. The next day, that bar was everywhere.
Yeah. Or like the guy Kanye West beat up, who was actually calling, speaking of the N-word.
And he was in a chiropractor. That chiropractor is the hottest chiropractor. That did wonders for that guy's chiropractic.
How messed up is this world that we live in? That a guy could call Kanye West the N-word, make fun of his wife, Kim Kardashian. He beats the guy up, and he had to pay the guy $275,000. What kind of a world do we live in where that happens? Because anyone else on the street, if that kid called some other guy the N-word, he would have got his ass kicked so bad, and no one would have cared, because no one would have known. Just because it's Kanye West, he had to pay him $275,000. How crazy is that? That we live in that kind of world. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's messed up. I mean, just because someone's a celebrity doesn't mean that you could go up to him and try to start a fight with
him. Yeah, but he should know that these guys are egging him on so he can get paid.
But why do you always have to know? Why can't you just be a man? A man versus man, that doesn't go down. I can't walk out on Michigan Avenue right now and just start seeing some guy walk by with his hot girlfriend, start talking all kinds of stuff to him, and just expect that it's going to be okay. There's consequences
exactly.
When you do that.
If you call somebody the N-word and then in turn insult their wife, you should expect, you know, at the very least, a butt whooping.
A broken nose. Yeah. You deserve a broken nose at least.
Yeah, you're right. But these guys, I mean, Kanye West, I mean, he has people constantly coming up trying to start a fight because they want to take that punch.
That's even
worse.
They want
to take the money from him. He knows that going into it. And so does she.
But there should be something in the legal system where we, you know, when you're egged on like that, you should be allowed to kick someone's ass.
Well, you can't. And he's got so much money that he should just know just to let it go in through one ear and out the other.
Yeah, it's hard, though, when you got some, like, jerk screaming at you. But let's get back to the nightclub thing. I made that point because there were nightclubs during the Super Bowl that wouldn't let Justin Bieber in their club. And I know Justin Bieber's an easy target, and everyone hates him because he got the DUI and all this stuff. But why would you not let him in your nightclub? You're going to have so many girls and so many people. If they find out that Justin Bieber, if it goes out on Twitter, hey, Justin Bieber's at the Paris club, you know how many people would be there within half an hour? It would spread like wildfire.
Right. I guess Bieber's just so...
It would spread like herpes in the Olympic Village.
Bieber's just so prominent in the news right now. Any mention of his name will get you attention.
I do,
so just by saying that we didn't allow Bieber in here, everyone's talking about those clubs now.
That's actually a good point. You almost have the same impact by turning right. him away,
yeah.
and you don't have the liability of having him there.
Well, don't you want to be the club that's so good that Justin Bieber can't get in? Well,
that's a good point too, Bay. See, now you guys are presenting other good angles.
Well,
you're
the dude's
right.
also like, what, 19 years old? Legally, yeah. he's not even supposed to be there.
You're right.
Well, yeah, no one's talked about that. He's not supposed to be in the club, period.
How about this? Maybe the club actually has integrity and they won't let a 19-year-old get completely drunk at their club.
That is true, because if the minute pictures show up of Bieber in their club drinking beer, their license be revoked. So,
but
yeah.
we just assume that they don't have integrity.
Yeah, you just assume that a nightclub is going to look the other way.
Once again, we're conditioned for the worst, right? Mm-hmm. We just assume, oh, well, of course they're going to let him in. Now let's get to the real story. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, we just assume that you know, it's okay.
And I do think, to be honest, I think that maybe some people are concerned that this guy probably needs real help. And not just help like a visit from Usher, like actual therapy or a counselor, you know, reaching.
Yeah.
And there are certain lines that you cross in someone's life where you're not going to enable them. I'm not going to let this train. I won't be the one that lets this train wreck continue. Not here. If he's going to do it somewhere else. But I'm not going to give you the gun that's going to, you know, I'm not going to give you the bullet that is going to kill you.
And the kid is also 19. He needs a mother. He needs the same lady who took him out on auditions and help him get to this level to actually be a mother for once.
Well, she's too busy on Girls Gone Wild, and the dad's too busy like, yo, man, yo, I got some tattoos, man.
He's filming Girls
out.
Gone Wild.
And you know she's like hitting on dudes like his friends, guys his age. She doesn't seem like the kind of lady that's even remotely stopping this.
Well, of course not.
And it's more than just a mother.
They're enabling
what he needs is and it happens with every star. They build out a team of people who never tell them no.
Yeah.
And that they want it that way. And he needs, instead of everyone saying, oh yeah, Justin, that's hilarious. That's awesome. Yes, sir, Justin, we'll do that right away. That's great. You're the man. He needs someone to say, hey, this is real life and we're concerned about you. And it's time we kind of have some focus here.
I think it's more than that. I think it's Justin Bieber has become like this fulfilling prophecy for the media and the public. I mean, we all wanted him to fail so badly. Everyone was saying when he's 19, 20, he's going to be on drugs, he's going to be doing this and that, and he's doing it now. And I honestly feel bad for the kid that he's in this position.
And when did Usher turn into the wolf from Pulp Fiction? Like, everyone brings him in now. Like
but Usher
Anderson,
is his mentor, though.
I know, but Anderson Silva, when he lost the fight, Usher was there to, like, talk. Yo, man. This is the greatest mixed martial. If you don't watch UFC, Anderson Silva's the greatest ever, right? It'd be like Usher talking to Michael Jordan. That's how great Anderson Silva is, right?
Oh, you said in Usher.
Is that from a movie or something?
You said in The Wolf.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah. Nice. Pulp Fiction.
The original reference.
That's right. But yeah, so Anderson Silva goes up to, or Usher goes up to Anderson Silva, and he's like, yo man, everybody loses sometimes, man. You just gotta pick yourself up, man. Like, Usher? Why is he giving people advice?
Because it is his guy, though.
I know, situation. But he was giving advice to Anderson Silva.
No, here's the thing about Bieber that nobody's talking about. Bieber was given the keys to the world at the age of 15. I mean, what would you have done in that position? Would you be
You're
at
right.
church every Sunday? Hanging out with your mom? No, you'd be doing the exact same thing he's doing. So a lot of this reaction we get on social media is just sour grapes. I think a lot of people are jealous of what he's able to do.
But it also doesn't help that he has two moronic parents that egg him on. Yo, Justin, you do your thing, dog. I wish I was 19 doing that.
Listen, nobody's jealous of this guy who's obviously fading quickly.
He
could die pretty soon. The guy's going around drag racing. I mean, Paul Walker just died for the same thing, for doing the kind of stuff that this guy's already trying to do. He, like you said before, he was given the keys to the world. Nobody's saying no. What's the ending result?
I'm just waiting for Justin Bieber to be on Ultimate Garage Makeover, like, so he could complete the transition to Vanilla Ice. Like, he could completely, you know, have a huge career, ruin it, lose all his money, and then ends up doing reality TV. I guarantee Justin Bieber will be on the Oxygen Network in 9 years. Hosting some ridiculous show. Yo, everybody, today we're going to pimp out garages. Tommy Wants is a NASCAR fan, so we're going to get him a hot garage. Yo, this is Bieber Garages. We'll be right back.
Yeah, if you Google, like, you know, Justin Bieber, Vanilla Ice, there are photos laid out.
you know, of Ice next to Bieber. And they are, it's a snapshot of Vanilla Ice's rise and fall.
Yeah.
And it's it's frame for frame Bieber. It's crazy.
Only Bieber has a lot of money still, but you know.
But I'm saying visually, you can just follow it. You follow Ice from the beginning, you know, and this smile, and then like when it just gets ugly, you know, the transformation is happening. I think if Bieber's playing Vanilla Ice Monopoly, he's only missing the interaction with Suge Knight. He needs that, and then it's over. That's it.
Yeah, when Rick Ross hangs him over a balcony and says, I want the rights to Baby.
Yeah.
that's when the transition's officially
absolutely
complete.
Yeah.
He has hotels on the whole board.
Yeah, four red hotels.
I think, though, that there's a way to do some of the stuff that he's doing and wants to do without flaunting it. And I think that's where, like, a lot of the resentment is coming from. When, you know, people at the airport are saying his private jet landed and it looked like, you know, like a cartoon or Cheech and Chong, you know, the door open and billowing marijuana smoke comes out. I mean, that happens in movies. You can avoid having that happen.
It's harder now, though, with there's just so much paparazzi following Bieber around.
But
I mean,
Sam,
this was happening in the 80s.
Don't smoke weed 2 seconds before you land.
Nobody was concerned in 85, you know, where Vince Neil was landing.
What I'm saying is you have to try to get your airplane filled with so much smoke that it comes pouring out when the door opens. That's not like an easy thing, dude. That doesn't just happen. Like, he's going out of his way to do these things.
You have to remember, too, that, like, Led Zeppelin were doing really messed up things and no one really knew about it except when groupies would write books and tell you how big
it's imagine was. if people that worked at the
Twitter?
Airport back then had Twitter and Sting landed or Rod Stewart.
So Jimmy Page has three donkeys that he's bringing up to the room and four prostitutes and I mean there are some messed up stories about Led Zeppelin with like underage girls and all kinds of crazy stuff and we don't know it.
Right.
I mean all we have is hearsay from groupies and right away they have no credibility because you're all I had sex with Sting, Mick Jagger. Like they lose credibility. If you had pictures and videos like they do now, can you imagine seeing Jimmy Page throwing a TV out the window, bring those hookers in here? Like,
if Fritzy, the air traffic controller on the ground down there at the airport, had Twitter back then, we would know a lot more about the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
We would know who was on the plane with them. We would know what drugs were in their suitcase. I mean, they had the luxury of, you know, doing a lot of that stuff and getting away with it. And it's just a different time. You can't live that way now and expect the same result.
If you're concerned with your image, you have to be much more careful in 2014 than Mick Jagger was in 1970.
Yeah. How about Michael Jordan? We grew up thinking Michael Jordan was the most wholesome guy ever. I mean, we loved Michael Jordan, okay? We thought he was the greatest guy ever. Oh, his wife. And we're like, why is his wife so unattractive? Like, it's Michael Jordan, and his wife looks like that? Well, now it makes sense. He was out with every other girl in Chicago. But there's no proof of it. All we have is hearsay. If we had videos of Michael Jordan stumbling out of, like, Crowbar with bloodshot
eyes.
But back
then, you had to get a tripod if you wanted to film anything.
Yeah, exactly.
A huge tape, you know, a big tape, and, you know. It wasn't a process. You can film anything now, and no one will see you.
And back then, like, Michael would have Richard Dent, like, beat the guy up. Yo, man, you filming MJ? You know, he'd punch him in the face. Yeah. You know, that was cool.
And of course he's filming him because it's a 50-pound camera on his shoulder. You can't say, no, I'm not filming MJ.
Yeah. Like, now you're right. Now you can wear Google glasses.
Yeah, and the camera was only a camera then. Now you could be like, are you taking a picture of me?
No,
texting. I was on my calculator. I was playing a game. I mean, the camera is anything else.
No,
it's everything else.
No, I'm booking a flight.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Really? Oh, cool. Okay.
All right, carry on.
It also does seem like that a lot of these guys, if they wanted to be discreet, they could be discreet. Justin Bieber knows exactly where the media is going to be, exactly where the paparazzi is going to be. He's not hiding it. I mean, Jordan, he's still hiding things to this day. We don't know what he's doing.
And
he's still one of the biggest figures around.
If you don't want the scrutiny, you don't go rent Lamborghinis with your buddy and race them. There's a way to avoid this. And
why does Bieber always have to be driving? Just have one of those morons driving your car.
I guess we shouldn't assume necessarily that he doesn't want the scrutiny, though, because he's in an off-album cycle right now. And a lot of these people, you know, they want to stay relevant in social media. And this is his way to do it. I mean, just keep topping himself. And that's what he's doing. Week after week, he's topping what he did.
But I mean, the celebrity today can't do anything because it's like you said, Ryan, anyone, if you're at a club doing anything, think of the stuff that I've heard Michael Jordan do. Some sick stuff, right? At clubs. Yo, you gonna bring a girl back to the crib? Like, just random things. Him trying to set up a night with some random girls. Like, Kennedy from MTV wrote in her book. She wrote in her book that Michael Jordan said, let's play craps. If I win, you have to have sex with me.
And lose your virginity to me.
Yeah, you have to lose your virginity to me if I win in a game of craps. Like, can you imagine if we had video of that now of like, you know, Justin Bieber doing that? Or LeBron James? Or, anyone.
Right. Bieber hasn't done anything that was really too egregious. I mean, if you really think about what he's done, he's smoked a little pot, he's made a rain at a couple of clubs, and he's won drag racing. That's what high school kids do if they could do it. He's just doing it on a much bigger scale. That's what it is.
But I think it's also that lean drink that, you know, the scissorp.
I'm a believer, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, but there's some other concerns, I think, though, Sam, and he's heading clearly down a path where he needs.
Yeah.
And I think, to be honest, I mean, Justin Bieber, I don't own any of his music, but he's probably someone who's a talented
kid. Why do you
have
to throw that in?
I'm saying, I
mean, we assume that you don't own his music.
I'm just saying this. I'm not saying I'm a fan, but this is a kid who has a lot of potential ahead of him. And if he takes the Justin Timberlake path, he's gravy, but he's taking the
Vanilla Ice.
Yeah, I mean, he's taking like the Wes Scantlin from Puddle of Mud path.
You're right, and he's seen the blueprint of what to do, the Justin Timberlake route.
Right.
It's perfect.
It's been laid out for him.
Yeah, there's two routes you could take. You could either take the Timberlake route, where you'll be in movies, win Grammys, be an icon, or take the Vanilla Ice route, where you're actually putting chandeliers in people's houses.
And they're filming you nailing, like building, putting boards together to
and you have
build
to make
people
jokes.
A new room.
You have to make jokes every time about ice, like, yo, this is the ice room where it's all iced out.
It's like the Matrix, the blue pill and the red pill. It's a milk and a scissor. Is that what you call it?
Yeah, scissor.
And he took the scissor.
Lean.
Took the easy way.
Oh man, the scissor sounds cool to me. I mean, you could live, and this is what these guys don't get. You could live the scissor lifestyle and still take the Timberlake path. George Clooney lives the scissor lifestyle, but the milk.
He's drinking milk.
You don't think he's doing the scissor lifestyle.
He does do the scissor lifestyle.
Clooney's drinking that?
No, it's a vague, I think.
Well, explain it, Ryan.
It's a generality.
Bring it down to me.
No, it's Abe speaking in generalities. He's living the life. He's
gotcha.
He's got it. You know, he's got what.
He's dumping supermodels every week.
He can do what scissor drinkers are doing and still drink
2%
milk.
Gotcha.
Derek Jeter lives the scissor lifestyle but has the milk persona, right?
Mm-hmm.
Vanilla Ice is straight scissor.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Who's straight milk? AC Green was straight milk.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Taylor Swift.
Who? Steve Kerr.
Taylor Swift, that's milk.
Yeah, well, she has a little scissor in her, though, too, you know?
She might take a sip on the
John Mayer stuff. Is living the scissor lifestyle. But now we're starting to think he's okay. You could live the scissor lifestyle and still be.
You could cut it with milk.
Michael Jordan lived the scissor lifestyle, but we thought he was a milk drinker. But he was really drinking scissor. See? You have to fool people into thinking Tiger Woods, a perfect example.
That's a good one.
We thought he was the greatest, but it turned out.
Scissor.
Living the scissor lifestyle.
Yeah. Scissor in that cup.
All right, let's take a break, guys. When we come back, I want to get to George Zimmerman.
Milk or scissor?
Which lifestyle are you living?
That's awesome.
The scissor or the milk?
Sorry, George Zimmerman.
Yeah, George Zimmerman's going to be in a box. I can't believe that George Zimmerman has fans. What, no matter what you think about that situation, once again, Ryan, like I said, if you hate that Coke commercial where all the different races and nationalities were singing America the Beautiful in different languages, you're racist. If you hate it. If you're a fan of George Zimmerman, no matter what you think happened with Trayvon Martin, you're probably just racist, right? If you just love George Zimmerman and you're buying his paintings and you're watching his, if you follow George Zimmerman on Twitter and you want to know what he's doing, you probably are just racist. We'll talk about that next. Also, Mano's Memo, a recap of the show. It's the Abe Cannon Show. It's WGN FM.
There's a lot of what to do. Come on.
Paul Stanley just celebrated, I think it was like his
160th birthday.
When you're Paul Stanley, every year, every birthday must, when your whole life is vanity, every birthday must just suck. Like those abs, like, I mean, he walks around with a leather vest that has a hole in the middle so you could see his belly. Like,
it's getting rough.
It's even Jack LaLanne, his six pack was still like, you know, like loose. Like, you don't have that hard steroid six pack when you're a 60-year-old man, no matter how hard you work out.
I think Anthony Kiedis will have it, though.
He's already looking not as tight, and he's 50-something years old. So, like, when you're Paul Stanley, though, from Kiss, and every year it just, must just suck. Sam, I understand you have breaking news on the ratings for the Super Bowl.
I do, and I'm really surprised by this, actually. The Super Bowl ratings came in 111.5 million viewers, an all-time record, actually. I'm surprised because I would have assumed that second half the numbers would have dropped off considerably, but this actually beat the Giants over the Patriots 2 years ago. That was the previous record at 111.3 million.
But
so,
do you think it's just
a new record by 0.2?
Do you think it's just because everyone fell asleep in front of their TV and
or also, just left the room?
Yeah, like New Girl also got 120 right. rating. That
I think
aired
it is
after
surprising.
It.
I think a lot of the pundits assumed this was going to be one of the lower rated in the last few years, at least.
Well, with all the gambling and people even having prop bets on what color Gatorade they were going to shower the coach with, I mean, everybody was staying tuned.
Well, that's true, but everyone's on a gambler base. No, and the Super Bowl brings in, that's the biggest net in the world. That's why people pay $3 million for a commercial, because everyone's watching. And when it was like 36-0 or whatever, you would think that there's no way they could possibly break that record.
But another thought is that the other networks, they don't even try. They literally program it. They pick out of a hat what's on the other channels. Yeah. So that might have just been the best option. People were just scrolling through the guide, House Hunters.
Guy Fieri.
Cajun Pawn Stars.
Guy Fieri. Yep.
Guys, in follow-up to that, another story. Downton Abbey actually set the second place all-time for ratings against the Super Bowl. So it actually had 6.8 million viewers.
What's Downton Abbey? What is that?
Downton Abbey is a drama on PBS. But it was the second highest rated show ever to be going up against the Super Bowl, only to be beaten by Downton Abbey last year.
Wow.
So, Downton Abbey fans apparently don't care about the Super Bowl at all. Downton Abbey.
Spell that.
Downton Abbey.
It's like the word downtown without that second
Downton,
W.
Yes.
Oh.
Downton Abbey.
What kind of show is this?
My father-in-law loves that show.
It's
actually
like a British show where they talk
about.
Yeah, but
he's like 70,
like,
right?
They talk about like figgy
pudding.
Isn't
he like 65 or something?
He's 70 plus.
Okay. Well, there you go. We shouldn't be watching this. It shouldn't be 6.8. There's not even 6.8 million people over 70 alive, are there? Like, is that possible? Are there 6.8 million?
Well, you judge it by the Downton Abbey ratings. There's 6.8 million.
That's replacing the census.
That's the count, yes. Yeah.
Like Obama has a special press conference after the Super Bowl. We just found out that there's actually 6.8 million 70 plus year old people in the United States of America. I just wanted to thank Downton Abbey for making that measurement possible, because usually they don't answer their phones. They don't even have phones, half of them. Did you guys see Roger? We'll get to George Zimmerman. Actually, let me just tell you the George Zimmerman thing really quick. He's boxing. And they're saying he's going to box the boxer of the game. I mean, the rapper of the game.
He's only boxing rappers.
Yeah, he's going to box rappers. DMX is in talks to box him. It's all C-list rappers and stuff like that. So I would love...
DMX is in talks to box
him. I don't even want to talk about Zerm, but whatever.
Trick Daddy.
Yeah. Warren G.
I mean, what
happened was, in the news today, Zimmerman came out and said, that's all fine and well, but I want to box Kanye West. That's what he said.
God.
So at first, though, I thought George Zimmerman opened himself up to a celebrity boxing challenge, and it was an open challenge. Anyone could open it.
Now Evander Holyfield could fight
and
him.
And now he's calling out his opponent.
Right. Well, DMX and The Game both came and said, we want to fight this guy. But he said today, he's like, I want to fight Kanye West because, quote, he's attacking defenseless people. That was a direct quote. He attacks defenseless people. Okay, dude.
I would love to see him box, like, you know, what's the guy's name? Jermaine Dupri. Or one of those guys.
Richard Sherman.
Coolio.
Suge Knight.
Hammer. All right, George, you have the option of all these 80s rappers. Hammer, Coolio, or DeBrat.
Abe, you did mention before the break that he has fans, and he does have fans. Who are these people who bid his paintings on eBay up over $100,000?
It's crazy. And like I said, it's the same people who hate that Coke commercial.
Yeah.
I don't...
One for one.
Aside from everything that happened with the Trayvon thing, and maybe that's the answer, but I don't know what there is that... What is there to be a fan of with George? What does he do?
If you're a fan of hating black people, you're a fan of George Zimmerman. That's what it is.
He's become the new the poster, poster boy of like acceptable racism like justifying race.
Hey, Zimmerman did what he had to do, man.
Yeah.
You see, they kept showing that picture of him from freshman year of high school. You should have seen what that thug really looked like.
What was he before? Was he like a gas station attendant? I mean, why is his painting now worth $100,000?
Yeah. What was Zimmerman? He was one of those loser night watchman guys that walk around. It's kind of like when you go to a bar and the guys who aren't real security guards all of a sudden think they're a cop because they're at the door.
It's like campus security.
Right.
You're on a Segway. You're not a cop. You don't have a gun.
They got those really big flashlights though.
Yeah, flashlights.
The real big ones.
No real cop rides around on a Segway. Like they actually have a police car.
No one gets in on my beat. I'm the law here at this club. You want to come in, you go through me.
Oh, sorry, man. I'll just go to a different club then. I don't need to come in here. As a matter of fact, I'm leaving for sure because I don't want to go in your club.
Whatever, man, loser.
Well, that's enough of Zimmerman. Let's get back to the Super Bowl. Did you guys see that Roger Goodell, he did this just to prove a point. He said when they thought that the weather was going to be horrible, that he was going to sit in the crowd with the fans and watch the Super Bowl, and it was 54 degrees. And he was sitting there with his big jacket on,
miserable.
He didn't even.
They kept showing him. He was so mad that he made that. He was trying to prove a point, and then when he got there, he was like, "What have I done?"
Right.
But he was wearing this huge jacket, and it was he really could have taken the jacket off.
He's never spent one day in the elements, one minute.
You're right. And can you imagine if it really was -15, like they thought, he'd look like Randy from A Christmas Story, sitting there with 16 jackets on, 9 scarves.
So you're saying that's how he dressed for the 50 degrees? Roger Goodell has no tolerance for cold.
He was wearing a weatherproof army jacket or something you would wear if you were in Antarctica fighting a war. This huge jacket on. I mean, he was very bundled up for a 54 degree night.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was really cold, I couldn't imagine what they would have. He'd have blankets all over him. I'm out here with the fans. That's what I promised.
They would have just had a guy in a lot of layers. It wouldn't have been him, but they would have just said, that's Roger Goodell.
Yeah, exactly.
It wouldn't have been him. It would have just been some guy covered.
You would just see a pile of blankets.
Yeah.
And they're like, there's Roger Goodell, our commissioner, braving it through the elements. He looks great. Did you ever notice that, too? He was wearing some kind of weird jeans. Guys who don't normally wear jeans always look weird in jeans. They're always either Floods or their mom jeans.
You walk around downtown Chicago on a Friday morning when it's jeans.
Casual jeans.
And it's the same with guys who never wear suits when they have to wear a suit. You're like, oh, wow, you've never worn a suit.
It's baggy.
It's the same. It goes both ways, right? Like the guy in the suit who wears jeans, you can see it on their face, right? They look trapped. There's a look in their eye am I doing it right? And it's just jeans.
And the guy in the suit, I think, honestly, as pathetic as the mom jeans or the Flood jeans look, the guy who's wearing the suit that never wears a suit actually looks more pathetic.
It's worse.
Because it's always either a huge suit or the ass is super tight on the suit.
Or the collar is so button hard you can tell it's about to burst off.
Or the collar is huge.
It's never pressed.
Yeah. What is that? What's that dynamic? Because it's always, the crotch is always messed up too. Either the ass or the front is just hanging too low on the suit. Why can't people just figure out how to wear, if I put on a clown suit, I would figure it out how to wear a clown suit. I dress up like Elvis for Halloween. I figured out how to wear the jumpsuit for one day. If you wear jeans every day, why can't you figure out how to wear a suit? And if you wear a suit every day, why can't you figure out how to wear nice jeans? Why do you have to wear mom jeans or Floods with sharp black dress shoes and white
because
socks?
You don't care. It's like, I'm never going to wear these again. You don't care enough to want to wear them right. You're just like, yeah, get me in those whatever Lee jeans and just hope that they, you know, aren't. I don't hope they don't like fall off or you're not in it for like long term knowledge.
Yeah.
You just want to get through the day in jeans.
Roger
Goodell, what he wanted more than anything was for that game to end, to get away from people, to be away from the general public, and to get out of those jeans. That's all he wanted. That's what he wanted.
He went home and put on a fitted suit?
Yeah.
Give me a fitted suit.
Gotta get comfy.
Yeah.
I'll be getting comfy, honey.
Honey, give me a couture suit, please.
Yeah. Did you guys see David Stern, the NBA commissioner, recently? He retired like last week. I'm just waiting for them to spot him leaving Costco with like kitty litter, walking around with, you know, he's gonna be walking around with like stonewash, you know, pleated jeans on.
Yeah. And the beard. He's got a giant beard all of a sudden.
Brown dress shoes with no shoelaces, like no socks.
A horizontally striped polo. Skin tight.
Does he still, Abe, do you know, and this is a serious question, does he still get booed when he walks in?
Of course.
Everywhere?
Anywhere he goes, boo, you suck!
And this is anywhere.
But I'm in a Target.
Doctor's offices.
Oh yeah, anywhere.
Home,
anywhere.
His own home.
His wife.
Oh, get out of here.
Honey, I'm back from Lowe's.
But I'm Do you guys remember when he accidentally called Hurricane Sandy Hurricane Katrina? How do you make that mistake, by the way? That's a pretty big mistake to make, especially right after
it
happened.
Well, you do that when you're a natural, when you're a heel. Like, in everyday life, that's how it happens.
Welcome to center court, NBA Commissioner David Stern and Miami Heat Managing General Partner Mickey Arison.
There it is.
Before we begin, I know that everyone here and around America watching has in their thoughts and their abiding concerns those who are affected by the tragedy of Hurricane Katrina and its aftermath. That said,
boo!
We have a celebration tonight.
Yeah. Why do you need to, when you say there's a celebration with that kind of happiness, like, do you remember last night during the Super Bowl? It was right after they ran back that kickoff. They showed all the guys from Seattle with those huge smiles on their faces and laughing. Like, it was like a cartoon or something.
They need a buffer between the tragedy and the gusto. They need
like,
something.
Like when they did the Philip Seymour Hoffman thing on SportsCenter yesterday, they just said, "We now remember Philip Seymour Hoffman." Then it goes to black, and then they go to a commercial. He doesn't just segue into saying, "We'll remember Philip Seymour Hoffman. By the way, Carmelo Anthony exploded tonight."
And now our top 10.
Yeah, and now our top 10 funnies.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this dumbass mascot falling over.
Do you know who does it right? Who did it right, at least? I think it was the Grammys. They did their tribute to the people who passed. They didn't say a word. They just, it was nice, and the music sort of faded to black and went to commercial. And it you didn't have, like, you know, Will I Am introducing, you know, Kesha and 10 midgets after you did the tribute to people who just passed. It was subtle.
Like LL Cool J.
It was tasteful.
Yo, man, I just want to say, though, that was great. Remember the Fallen Heroes. And now Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
And then she's naked and.
Right. Yeah.
And the last thing I wanted to mention about the Super Bowl, how awkward was the conversation when Eli told Peyton what he would have done differently? Peyton, if I were you, I wouldn't have said Omaha so many times. Peyton Manning, the greatest quarterback ever, okay? And you know Archie, under his breath, goes, "Still 2-1, bub." And you know Peyton will never retire until he either dies on the field or wins a second Super Bowl.
And you know he probably refers to him as one. What's up, one?
Yeah.
And today was the first day in the history of Peyton Manning's life that he's ever been embarrassed to call Cooper.
Yeah, usually he just like, he's like a rooster.
He doesn't
Cooper.
Answer Cooper's calls, right?
That's their older brother, the loser of the
Cooper
three.
Manning, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, if the Manning family was Hooters, Cooper is the girl in the back making wings.
And Peyton is the hot girl out front.
Oh, yeah.
And Eli is the trainee who's also hot.
Yeah.
Cooper, you're right, is the one not only making
the
wings,
manager.
She's also cleaning up all the spew and lung butter on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
Cooper gets called into the bathroom.
Yeah, here, you be Cooper, I'll be
the
Peyton.
The toilet won't flush.
Hey, what's up, Cooper?
Hey, man. Rough game.
Yeah, man. So we still
what
out for,
happened?
We still out for that Reba McEntire concert at the venue?
Yeah, that's. I don't know. I'm not really feeling it. I don't know.
It's still 2-1, bub.
Who's that?
Us, Dad.
Keep saying Sudo 1. Sudo 1, Bob.
I think I've outgrown Reba. I'm going to ask Eli. Is it cool if he takes your ticket?
Eli's doing tonight.
Yeah. Hey, Peyton, why don't you put the winner on the phone, your brother Eli? That's right, Daddy. Two Super Bowls. I'll get them next year. What? Still 2-1, Bob. Either way, it's cool with me, Peyton. 2-1. All right, one. He calls Cooper to feel good about himself. He actually feels worse. Cooper keeps asking too many questions. So why did you throw that interception? I don't know, Cooper. I heard one of your Papa John's franchises went under too yesterday.
Oh yeah, really?
Bad news, Cooper Manning.
I didn't read the headline. I'm not really interested in reading the headlines today.
When your Cooper
headlines will be there tomorrow.
Cooper, could you just put that on, please?
Cooper, could you stop reading me things you've read?
Yeah, you're right, Bass. You know Cooper lives with Archie.
Yeah, Cooper.
Yeah.
Cooper's the one like screening. Cooper's screening the calls. Yeah. Sorry, Peyton. You don't want to talk to you today.
Cooper runs to answer the phone anytime it rings.
Hello, Peyton. So what happened, man? Like Cooper loves to be bad news. Cooper. Yeah. He loves to call Peyton and bring stuff like that up. So he hasn't talked to Peyton since the season started. The only time he talked to him is when they lost against like the Chiefs or something. Hey, what's up? How did you lose to the Chiefs? Doesn't who's their quarterback from the Niners? What's his name?
Kaepernick.
Yeah. Kaepernick.
Alex Smith sucks. Alex Smith's the worst, man. How did you lose him? Can you put Dad on the phone, Coop? Please.
Yeah, Coop. I didn't call the. I just real quick. I got 2 seconds here. I'm stepping on an elevator, and I need to talk to Dad.
Yeah, I need to talk to Dad about my millions.
But I'll call
of
you later, and then he sly dials him, or he just straight to voicemail.
Yeah, straight to voicemail call. Yeah.
Cooper hasn't figured out why every time he looks at his phone, he's got a new voicemail from Peyton, but no missed call.
But how much does Cooper love these situations where he could keep questioning his brothers on failures? Hey, Eli, I heard that you had a horrible. Nice job, Eli. You didn't even get in the playoffs. So why do you suck so bad this year, Eli?
You totally ruined my fantasy football team, Eli.
Well, I don't even have either one of them on my team because they both suck. You know why? On my team, Russell Martin. You know what, Peyton? I'll tell you this,
Russell
man.
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson, yeah. I'll tell you this, Peyton. You proved me right. Oh, really, Eli? You proved that the old horse still has it, huh? I mean, we fell a little short, but no, you proved that me drafting Russell Martin over you is a good idea. Russell Wilson. Why do you keep calling Russell? It's Russell Martin.
I think he plays baseball.
Oh, yeah, okay. You proved that drafting Russell Wilson was smart over you. You took Russell Wilson in the first round of your fantasy draft? Yeah, just to prove a point, because I hate you so much.
One.
That is bad, though, Ryan. You're right. When you're afraid to talk to Cooper Manning. All right. Should we wrap this one up, fellas?
I guess.
Let's.
I mean, we're not leaving, so we could take a break. We could take an extended break, I guess. Stretch our legs, get some fresh air.
So the way we end shows is Ryan, who he writes this during the entire show, a recap of the show. We call it Mano's Memo.
And I just want to say, tonight will be an abridged version. It's just a bit of a taste of what we do. This is, I don't want to overwhelm you guys. We don't want to get to chapter 3 yet. We just, we're still in chapter 1.
Yep.
But at the end of the show, I kind of recap it in a way.
You're like Abe's info guy. Couple tastes, and then they're going to want it.
Right. So tonight, if you're just joining us.
This is like Star Wars New Hope.
Here's what you missed. We kicked off episode 1 of the Abe Cannon Show on WGN-FM with a few bro hugs and handshakes for our longtime listeners who made the trek with us. They stepped off the Abe Express out front of the Tribune Tower. We were told that this was a BYOL party from your own listeners. So we did. We rented a Greyhound, put up an Abe Express banner, and we picked them up at the Sirius XM studios in New York, and we drove them here. Long ride, but to the men and women of honor who followed us, we appreciate your loyalty and dedication. And to the WGN faithful, AM, FM, it doesn't matter, you would have been justified to reach for your shotgun when you heard this commotion in your kitchen. Not only did you not shoot us, you called to extend the olive branch and actually say that we don't have to leave. We can just keep the guest room. Sincerely, we appreciate that. We know that it's not easy to welcome a single stranger into this beautiful, iconic home of yours, let alone four guys with edges, a bit more frayed than you may be used to. you know.
Like you're used to the living room with the plastic on the couches, and we're just laying, we ripped the plastic off, we're laying right on the couch.
Spilling grapefruit juice all over
there. Yelling. Drinking orange juice.
Welcoming Jay the Gay to the party. Yeah.
Stepped in dog poop on the way in.
Yeah, we're eating wings on the couch after ripping the plastic off.
I mean, you know, for example, Abe's, you know, one of the first stories he got into tonight was when he worked at Walmart, he was turned off by the old man who on Abe's first day at Walmart, sped toward him in the parking lot.
Hey, young man!
Only to ask him to button up his suspenders. And, I mean, those aren't the topics I think that you may become used to, but, you know, it worked tonight.
Or the lots of mayonnaise lady.
The stump, she was just half a body. She was a torso and a head who, you know, went from a wheelchair to a windowsill at a Subway and yelled about mayonnaise.
Lots of mayonnaise! Lots of mayonnaise!
For 15 minutes, which we learned has ruined mayonnaise for Abe, but not mayonnaise if he can't see it put on something. There's a distinction.
Exactly.
Abe clarified tonight.
Watching mayonnaise.
Abe will still eat mayonnaise as long as he doesn't have to see you put it on what he's eating. if you leave the room or make him turn around, he can still eat the mayonnaise.
Can you imagine the Subway guy saying, "Hey man, can you turn around while I put this mayonnaise on?" Or if I ask him, "Hey, do you mind if I turn around while you put extra mayo on my sub?" Yeah, go ahead, man.
We want to thank a few specific people. You know, it's kind of like when someone wins a Grammy and you have a few people to thank. Conrad from Canada.
Yep,
he was
caller,
the
right?
first caller. And it was a noble call, a proper, refined, worthy call of the WGN-FM airwaves. Whereas the second caller, Patrick, spoke as if we were still on satellite. he rightfully earned the dishonor that accompanies being number two.
Yep.
He earned the silver medal. He earned the right to sit and watch Conrad's Canadian national anthem be played while he cried. Patrick, congratulations, my friend. You are the Buzz Aldrin of the Abe Cannon Show. You will live in Conrad's shadow until Conrad dies.
You're the Denver Broncos of the show. No one will remember you.
And Patrick, trust me, when Conrad does die, it gets better. I know that might not be much consolation now, but Buzz Aldrin did have a short stint as the man, but he had to wait.
Yep.
Jay the Gay was our third caller.
He had to wait till he couldn't walk or talk or do anything.
Incidentally, Jay the Gay, our third caller, for some reason tonight referred to himself in the third person the entire time. He kept telling us what Jay the Gay likes, what Jay the Gay has. I don't know what happened from the last time we did a show, but I don't know.
I didn't know he was The Rock now.
Yeah.
Jay the Gay says, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Who's the guy on the mic, Ryan? It doesn't matter who's on the mic.
In 2015, when we ask, our first show in 2015, when we're doing a little spin on this, when we ask who the third caller was on the first Abe Cannon show, if you say Jay the Gay, we'll give you a pair of Blackhawks tickets. No? Oh, I guess we don't have Blackhawks tickets.
We have nothing to give.
No.
We'll give Maybe you a Black in 2015 Hawk. We will.
We'll give you a Blackhawks sticker.
We'll give you a burger from Bass and his wife.
You're welcome.
Their currency. Talked about the...
what if that really was their currency? Like, what if Bass's wife really just had a bag of burgers?
She takes a bag of burgers to the store?
But no, but she went to, like, you know, to pay her Comcast bill.
Yeah, and just drops a bag of burgers in
the
counter.
Oh, here you go. That'll be 89 burgers, right?
All right, thanks, Mrs. Bass.
Do you want to get some pickles for some change?
She's buying, like, a car. Why do you have a pickup truck full of burgers?
To buy the car.
Yeah, of course. Duh.
I brought the Whoppers.
Yeah.
We talked about the Super Bowl tonight, but not much to do with the game. Actually, very little, nothing to do with the game.
That
primarily Joe Namath. And Joe Namath, for everyone unfamiliar with the smarmy legacy of Broadway Joe, he was the one trying to be Macklemore before the game at the 50-yard line. Congratulations to Joe Namath from the Abe Cannon Show on being the first quarterback in NFL history to be intercepted during the coin toss. And to Abe's credit, he knew that Broadway Joe was nothing but trouble. He saw him on the screen, and no lie, Abe said, "Oh, no," the minute he came up. Because Abe had money on the coin toss,
of
which
course.
He lost.
5 years in a row, that's it.
And we learned something about Abe, too. He's been living with this chronic issue. He somehow ended up on a list which bookies pay for to obtain the cell phone numbers of people who are interested in gambling, and they call him every day. There's more memo. We'll
no,
put
you can go on.
No, I'm not. Oh,
we're not out
I
time
thought that
yet.
Was it right there.
No, we got
that was the
time.
Old out cue.
That's the old out cue.
Very nice.
The new out cue is just the clock.
So Abe has this chronic issue. For 2 years, he's been receiving phone calls from people who paid for his cell phone number because at some point on some website, he showed interest in gambling. They call him every day and try and get him to buy in to their
tip. Hey, buddy, what's the credit card number now? Give me two picks.
But Abe has finally found a gentleman he's compatible with.
Yep.
And they have a good thing going on right now. He's given Abe some successful tips, and much like, you know, Tuco taking that first bump of Walt's blue, tight! That's tight! That's where Abe's at right now, and he keeps calling this Patrick guy just for one more tip.
Yep.
Abe just begging this guy.
Come on, please.
Seven in the morning, 2 a.m., Abe's calling Patrick saying, just the tip, Patrick. Just the tip. Hey, we want to thank Linda, too, 66-year-old woman.
Yeah.
That was our old, I think old, I mean, we were more, you know, not aimed at 66-year-old women.
Yeah,
in our, in
that's
our,
not our demo.
And it was nice to hear from
Very
one who
nice.
Said, hey, I like this. And guess what? I'm not just anyone. I have history in being fan club presidents, and yep. I want to lead the charge on this thing. She was Cher's fan club president.
Weren't there
talks? There were a bunch of other, Three Dog Night. No. she was Cher's fan club president, as I said.
Weren't there talks, though, that we're ageists on this show and we proved wrong? Like, we proved that we welcome all ages to the show.
Yeah.
Like, there were talks on the street like, isn't that ageism show?
Right.
They have problems with people of older. No.
No.
We welcomed her right in.
Yeah, Linda's part of the family. Linda, we thank you for listening, dear. And you can be president of our fan club any day. We'll send you a sealed Abe Cannon Show letter typed out on a typewriter on Abe Cannon Show letterhead, citing, you know, giving you full rights to the title of Abe Cannon Show fan club leader.
Was that enough of a taste of the memo? Do you want?
I guess we discussed the favor base asking Abe for a ride to the airport. Justin Bieber can't get into nightclubs. He's not on the list, bro. There's a lot more, but yeah. That's good for now.
Yeah. Eventually we'll, you know, do full memos and a full recap of the show. We'll see you guys tomorrow. We'll be here all week. Hey, I'm here all week. So go to abecannon.com if you want to follow us. Obviously you figured out how to find the show if you're listening. So I don't need to tell you that. And then the podcast will be available immediately. So if you're listening live, right after the show, or maybe like an hour after the show.
I was going to say, that's a loose term.
Yeah, or whatever, an hour after the show, it'll be ready to go so you can listen to the entire show. So we'll see you guys tomorrow. We out.
Peace.
See ya.